Connected to CMN Network.
At 8 dBF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K8, are you H?
At 8 dBF.
Whoa, what are you doing up so early?
I got an electrician coming to the office this morning, so I actually have to be there early.
Got ya. Did either of those motos ship yet?
The 7550 did, the R7 did not. So R7 says it ships USPS priority, and it's in Texas. So I'm hoping if he ships it today, I'll have it Saturday. And I don't know. I feel like I still need to get programming. I can't imagine a radio without a programming cable, so I'll probably order one.
Yeah, I'm super interested to hear how that R7 works for you. What are you? Are you just going to get the 7550 and then resell it right away?
I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I might keep it, but keeping it's probably a dumb idea because it's just going to collect dust like all the other radios I have. So, I don't know. That one might just migrate to my backpack, sell that ICOM I have, and then the R7, my pretty radio that I play with.
He didn't accept my offer. What was your offer?
$625.
Oh, were you bidding on one also?
I just figured, what the hell, throw a low ball in there, see if he bites. It still would have, with taxes and shipping and everything, it still would have been $685, you know, so I threw that out there. He countered this morning. I woke up to a counter of $665.
Wow, 10 whole dollars. I thought about that. I actually did the same exact thing. I made an offer of $625, but I'm like, I've been watching this for 3 days. I've been watching the number available dwindle. The dude knows what he's got. He knows it's a good price. So I was like, screw it. I retracted my offer, and I just bought one before they were gone. I didn't want to miss the opportunity, especially with a 12-month warranty.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Man, you guys are going to get these now. I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to have to sell some stuff and buy one.
No, I mean, it was kind of got a wild hair up my butt kind of thing. Dakota did it. I figured I would, too. I don't think I'm going to do it. I mean, $600 is not that big a deal to me. You know, it's right at that point where it's like, man, you know, $300's like, yeah, whatever, you know. You know, when you start to push $500, it's like, you know. And I just kind of like, it's in that, right in that point where it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, do I want to do this? And so I probably won't. I'm still seriously looking at, you know, maybe like a Tate or a Viking, you know, really spending the bucks. And I just figured if I spend that much, I've got, you know, almost $700 into one of those. You know, that's $700 that could have went toward, you know, the Tate.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the route you're going to go, too, those are a pretty penny, so I get it. I don't see myself ever spending that kind of money. I say this every time that I do it, but I don't see myself buying a Tate. It's just a lot. A lot for an HP for me, because of where I'm at, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But the R7, at least, you know, there's a repeater at my house. I got a hotspot. DMR seems like it's growing, and it's got good coverage. So I'm like, all right, I can swing that, especially getting a $1,400 radio for $700. And it was easy. I sold my Kenwood. That was the whole thing. I don't know if I told you, but I sold the THD-75, so it was like no-brainer.
That definitely makes things much easier. I would probably do something similar. I don't know that I'd buy one of those, but if I sold some gear, So I think that means that this weekend I got to sit down, take some pictures, and post stuff around Facebook and wherever else I can, and try to sell some stuff and thin the herd and then decide what I really want.
Yeah, and I concur. You know, if I had just sold, one or two of my radios, you know, I don't have one as significant as your 75, but if I had one of those, you know, something like that, then it probably, I just get it, you know, whatever. You know, because you always sell it later if you decide you want to go a different route. And, the other thing about, like, the Tate or the Viking is you don't have the need like I do for the, you know, for the other, you know, for the three bands. You can buy a dual bander, right? You don't need the 800, and you certainly don't need, you know, P25 trunking and all this other stuff. Even the P25 conventional stuff we do for amateur radio really isn't that, you know, much of a thing for you where you're at. I've got different criteria, and that I just don't think would really be justifiable for you in that space.
I was kind of talking through it with KTMR, and I'm like, you know, I love the Kenwood. It's my favorite HT I've ever had, but it sits on my desk. It's a node radio. Sometimes it'll act as a mobile. It's D-Star, which is virtually useless around here. And I don't really care about APRS, which is something I've played with it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to turn one expensive desk ornament into another expensive desk ornament. But that one is probably going to get more use because it's DMR. It's a Motorola, so I'll always be able to get my money to an extent back out of it. So that was my justification. And, you know, I was like $100 out of pocket on it, so it's not a big deal. But, you're right. I don't need P25. I don't need 800. I don't know if I'm going to miss having 2 meters, but I highly doubt it. I don't think I've really ever used 2 meter on a HD, if I'm being honest. I mean, I've simplex screwing around, but if I'm going to be simplexing out, it's going to be DMR.
Well, even if you do need 2 meter, you have other HTs that are 2 meter capable, so it's not like you're totally out of business.
Yeah, that's like me. I could easily go UHF only in the car here, and I'd be okay. So that's why I've even thought, you know, I could go for something. I don't have to necessarily go for the Tate or the Viking. You know, there were some Kenwoods that were multi-protocol, monoband, UHF multi-protocol. I could deal with that. You know, that would work if I could find the right deal. And so I still look. I wouldn't mind. That's what I wouldn't mind getting. I wouldn't mind getting a multi-band, multi-protocol radio for my car. You know, would I like it to have 800, you know, be able to do 800 trunking? Yes. Would I like it to have VHF? Yes. But, you know, I don't want to run multiple radios in my car if I don't have to. You know, a VHF rig is the second radio if I'm doing that. So something like that would be good. As a matter of fact, I got my eye on a APX dual bander. So it's a Motorola APX P25 UHF VHF radio. I got my eyeball on that, and I was thinking that'd be good for the car. But you know, that I would need something like that R7. That's kind of what prompted me to put in an offer on it. Okay, that we'll get that, and then get the dual band P25 mobile, and then, you know, you're covered in the car and not so worried about it in the house. But you know, I got to think, well, you know, I'm going to spend, you know, $1,300 on that Motorola, you know, for the car, and, you know, another $800 there. You know, I'm pushing $2,000 there. There we are, you know. Oh man.
That was one thing I noticed, is you're definitely going to pay to play if you want a Motorola, which I guess, right, the reputation, the durability, like, they're the best, so I get it, but I never thought I'd spend that kind of money on one.
John, you're talking about having P25 stuff in your mobile, and if I remember correctly, you said you have some XTS 5000s that, or at least one, that you have that are UHF P25. I just came across yesterday, you know, they have those cradles to put them in the car to connect them to an antenna and everything. I came across a couple of those. If that's something that you need, I can get one over to you.
Yeah, I believe those are called an XTVA, and I've got one. They're pretty cool. I've just never really, you know, I've got one here in the car for my APX, but and I've got them for all the guys at the shop for their APXs, but I never deployed my XPS one for the for my personal car. There's a couple of caveats about those. You have to have a special adapter that goes between the radio and the antenna when you're running one of those. And then they've been known to, TJ had a lot of those, and they were troublesome. They to the point where they might even been, you know, they don't make a good connection in the antenna port, and he was losing files in the XDSs, and these days that's, you know, it's pretty critical. I'm kind of leery of running one anymore. So just a FYI, if you ever get one and an XTS, just be very careful. So what about like programming cables and other third-party accessories? Do you say run OEM, or am I going to be safe with trying something different?
Go ahead, John. I'm working on getting out of the car here.
I don't think there's any problem. If somebody's selling a cable that says it works, and I don't have any reason to believe you'd have any problem with that. Unless, you know, just read the comments, and then, you know, as long as guys got good reviews, I'm sure his cables work. That's what I do. I wouldn't worry too much about OEM cables.
All right, because I was looking in the programming cable for the R7, like $60 to $70, which, you know, it is what it is, right? You know, the radio isn't exactly cheap either, so I would hate to screw it up by buying a cheap, crappy cable, but I have to buy one for the XPR also, so I'm trying not to spend $200 on freaking cables.
Should be the same cable, I think.
Well, if that's the case, then I will buy an OEM one and just play it safe. But if I got to buy two, maybe not.
Yeah, that's where John, WUO, ask him. He's got both. And I'm sure he can tell you if it's the same. I'm pretty sure it's the same side connector, same cable. I don't know a lot about the R7. I know they changed the side connector physically, but I don't think they changed the layout, you know, connection. They just changed how it was molded into the case, but I think it's the same physical connector. We can ask John on that. He'll know.
Dakota, I got to reach out to John anyways today, tomorrow, so I'll ask him when I talk to him. Hopefully I'll get a hold of him. I know he's got some issues with his... his pup is pretty sick, so he's been pretty busy. But I will I'll ask him when I see him or when I hear from him.
If you are on the app, your audio is cooking, but I appreciate it. Yeah, don't bug him if he's got stuff going on. It's not that big a deal. If I got to spend $60, I got to spend $60. I can talk to the reseller too, because they say they stock OEM cables. We'll see how much they want to throw one in. I might just go that route because I got to reach out to them, get the key for the amateur radio stuff on that radio too, which fortunately he said is included. I just need to reach back out and they'll send it to my Motorola account.
I was on the, or I am on the app. I turned it down a little bit. Hopefully that's a little bit better.
That's better. Yeah, the entitlement key, if you, depending on which software you run, if you're running 16, if you don't break 16, you can get an entitlement key one way, and then if you if you're running 2.0, you can run the new, it's a $5 for the entitlement key. So, if you, as I read that, he's including that, so there you go. But, yeah, you can ask him. I'm sure he'll know. Just tell him, say, hey, I'm getting a, I've got a 7550, is it the same cable? He'll know right off the bat.
KFA-FSO, I just wanted to say good morning from the west side. Just been listening in on you. Hope everybody has a great day.
Good morning, Westsider. Hope you're doing well. And you have a great day as well here. And Shawnee, I'll shoot him a message when I get to the office. But I'm assuming he'll know. I'm just hoping. And I'm assuming he's going to give me a break on the cable, too. Not necessarily charge me sticker, but who knows. But I keep reading that it's got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi programming, but I'm assuming I'm going to need a cable to set that up initially. I also don't know how much I trust that. And then I keep reading stuff and hearing things that, you know, don't buy a Motorola. They're locked down. You can't do anything. But then there's contradictions where, like, people are saying once you do X, Y, and Z, you can front panel program them and basically treat them like a regular radio.
Good morning, FSO on the west side. Name here is Sean. Got Dakota and Anthony in here as well. But, yeah, that's, you know, I don't know in what way they're locked down. That front panel programming, that's FPP. And I saw that the radio you're getting, at least the R7, says it comes with federal government FPP. So you're all set on that radio. On the other radio, it's a whole different thing. You got to have the right, on the 7550, you got to have the right firmware or the right version, and then Wally can do some magic on it and get you FPP on that one as well. So if that's what you're referring to. Yeah, FPP is not a possibility unless you put in a particular firmware. Anthony, and then let the FSO jump back in.
Man, all of these caveats with the Motorolas is what concerns me when I'm looking at them. It's always like, if this, then this, if this, then this. But luckily, it seems like you guys have it all figured out. So if I put my hat in the ring, I will definitely be consulting with you guys.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Oh, you were real crunchy on that last one, Dakota. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe FSO just was passing by and doing a drive-by. Anthony, that's not a trivial concern. There are caveats. I think the R7 is a little bit easier, and it's not a big deal as it sounds. It's just a matter of whether, you know, how important is it to have FPP in your 7550. I find it to be quite important. If I'm going to buy one, I have to be sure. If I get a 7550, I got to be sure it's capable of doing that FPP. If it's not, I don't want it. So that's, you know, for me, it's very important. But after that, there's not much else you got to worry about. And then the R7, I think, you know, they're capable, you know, without any tomfoolery. So it's not, it's clear as mud, right?
It's always good when it's clear as mud.
KFA, FGS. And I hate being an impulse buyer, but here we are. It was just a good deal. Couldn't pass it up. It had the little screen protector on it still. So it's like, what am I going to do? I get my money back out of it if I don't want to keep it. Well, Wally checked. He said that firmware 2.09, I think it is. He's like, that's perfect. You don't want to go any higher than that. So I'm assuming he'll be able to do whatever he needs to do to unlock that. If he's willing. If not, I'm sure I can figure it out. Pay for the key or whatever the hell it is.
Kurt, David, jump in there. We'll get David in. So the front panel programming, the FPP, is a different thing. It's that 2.09 thing while he's talking about, just to make it even clearer, that's a different issue. And the radios, when they get programmed by the Motorola software, they update to that, to that firmware or whatever. And you don't want to use the software package past 2.09. And you don't want your radio to be, over 2.09. Because once the radio's over, then I guess you can roll back an XDR. But on an APX, you can't. So if there was a problem, and you, like right now we're at, I don't know what we're at, 16-something? I forget. But, if there's some sort of a problem or some sort of a feature lockout that occurred in the next version, and once you program your radio with it, you're stuck at that version or higher. So, you got to be careful in that regard. So just more stuff to make it clear as mud there with the Motorola. I know Anthony loves it. David, go ahead and then pass it to Anthony.
Yeah, I just want to say good morning and appreciate listening to you guys. There's, as my learning curve is pretty steep, and I appreciate hearing the banter. Just getting ready to get the wife off to work and then get my day started. KFA, FGS, Anthony, go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I'm going to bow out here. I actually got to get to work today. I got some meetings in a few hours that I'm only mediocrely prepared for. So I will catch up with you guys later this afternoon. This is K-E-8-R-U-H. Have a good day, everyone.
Good morning, David. Anthony, I'll talk to you later. And Sean, I don't even remember what the hell we were just talking about because I was zoning out driving. The firmware version. So that's good to know. I didn't know that the CodePlug software was what rolled the firmware forward or back. So I'll keep that in mind. I'm assuming it's not going to be an issue on the R7, at least not yet, because it's a newer radio. But the 7550, I imagine I got to pay close attention to. So if that thing turns out to be a pain, I will probably just rehome it.
Yeah, 70. I'm going to step off for just a second and get the wife off to work. I'll be back. KF8FGS.
All righty. We'll catch you in a bit. Anthony, we'll talk to you later, maybe on the drive home. But, I know there's all these caveats and things you got to, this or that. And like Anthony says, it is confusing to the uninitiated, but... it's not really a big deal. I've looked at your R7. I sent it over to the Central Michigan guys who are very familiar with that stuff. They all said it looked like a great deal. It looked like it had everything and a lot more than you'd ever need. So it's got all the stuff. It says right on there it's got FPP. You'll be golden there. The XDR, yes, there's... If you want to do FPP, you got to do some tomfoolery with it, and you can only do it to a certain, I forget what it is. There's a code. It's not the firmware. It's something else. Certain versions of the radio can do it, and we think that the newer ones can too. But Wally doesn't want to risk breaking one, trying the modification. To get them to do what you do is you gotta switch them from North American software to Latin American firmware, not software, firmware. And if you get the Latin American firmware in them, then they'll do the FPP, the front panel programming. There's no other difference, just run the Latin American firmware. Well, only certain radios, they only have the files to upgrade to a certain point. So it's not like, eventually somebody will probably have the file to upgrade later radios. My problem is, like, all the ones that I have at work, I'd upgrade them all to FPP, you know, with that Latin American firmware, but I can't because they're all beyond the upgrade file.
NADDF. All right, that makes sense, kind of, sort of. That was the other thing I noticed when I was looking at the R7s on eBay, is there's like a AS region that was like $100 cheaper. There's a Latin America region that was a couple bucks cheaper. So I appreciate you sending that to the Central Michigan guys, because like I said, I didn't want to buy something that was like, damn it, this is useless to me now. Which seems like it's pretty easy to do in that world. So, yeah, I don't know. Do I really need front panel programming on the radio? Probably not. I can't remember the last time I programmed anything on the fly other than like maybe dialing a simplex frequency, which if it's DMR, it's probably going to be saved anyway, so I don't know. But yeah, the functionality, I like it. I like options, right?
Yeah, see, I have to have it. I need FPP all the time. In fact, the other day I wanted to try to, you know, hear somebody on the input to a repeater because there was some screwing around going on, so I just wanted to see. I had a feeling I was near it, but with the particular radio I had, I didn't have the ability to program in, and I didn't have a key to just put me on reverse mode. And so, you know, I couldn't do it, you know, and the opportunity had arisen, and I just didn't have the ability. If I had an FPP radio, I could just punch in the input frequency and bingo. You know, that was just the most recent one. There's been 100 other times that I've needed FPP I don't use it a ton, but enough to where I just don't want to not have it under my radio.
I swear I have the exact same mindset with everything, too. It's like if I needed a tool for a situation, or I needed to do something in a situation, I didn't have the capability because of X, Y, and Z, I make sure it never happens again because it's annoying. So that's a perfect use case, and I'll probably make sure I get FPP unlocked on FM. So I'm assuming that adds value, too, maybe. I don't know. For someone like you, it probably would. It would make it more enticing. And these transceivers in these radios, are they that good? This isn't like some magic smoke and mirrors thing where it's going to be like, oh, my God, this is the best radio ever. Like, it's still an HT at the end of the day, right? Or am I going to be able to beep-bop around Hall Road and be able to talk DMR?
Well, of course, the ability of the radio is a function of the system, you know, with a handheld. You know, but having said that, where the Motorolas really do bring it to the table, and it's no bullshit, is their audio circuitry, both transmit and receive. There's just nothing like it. That's why so many people sound so, hold on, I got to order my coffee here. Anyhow, their audio circuits, both transmit and receive, and that R7 next level with the you know, extra microphone and the sampling and everything like that, it's gonna just have really good audio. You listen to a lot of people on DMR and they just sound terrible, and you know, they don't have ALC, or your radio. If your radio doesn't have the receiver ALC circuitry like the Motorola, you know, one guy will come in and he'll be blasting and sound terrible. The next guy will come in and be weak, but the Motorola smooths it all out, so everybody sounds good. So you can get rid of that, and then plus the transmitted audio on them is great, so you end up sounding good. So that's where they really shine. As far as the RF performance and whether you're going to be able to work, you know, a repeater any better than any other radio, not really. But that's really a function of the system more than anything.
I anticipated this was going to be a primarily hotspot radio or, you know, simplex with Phil or local guys kind of deal. I wasn't going to... I didn't think it was going to be some magic miracle, but I'm excited to hear the audio. I've never screwed around with one, so we'll see what the difference is. Especially, I've been using that DM32, which I honestly blown away for $50.
You know, then there's that. You know, it's a hell of a radio for the price. It seems to do what it does pretty well. It doesn't have the cool audio circuitry, so you've got to put up with, you know, all the crap. And that if I had one knock, it would be, and that's not really a knock. Nobody really has nobody really has that. But, boy, if they could take a radio like that for $55, you know, and put in that Motorola ALC circuit on the receive side, man, I'd be golden. I've heard the transmit side on them. They sound pretty good. So I don't know that they need a lot of work there, but boy, I wish they had that receiver ALC. It seems with every year and iteration of the Chinese radio, they just continue to get better and cheaper, and I don't know how they're doing it. Well, I don't mean to dampen the mood here this morning, but I was reading an article last night that, speaking of the Chinese and their tech and all that stuff, you know, it used to be a time we'd laugh at their tech. Now their tech's actually getting pretty good. And the scary part is I read an article last night how they've been monitoring Chinese submarine warfare movement. And they've been doing some extensive mapping ocean floor, in and all around their area, out to Midway and through the Indian Ocean and stuff like that. Which, you know, like you consult James about that, and you know, they say they put a lot of research. Their highest research institutes are mapping the ocean floor. That's for warfare. That's for planning war against the U.S. You know, with them doing all that, you know, crazy mapping of the ocean floor. So they got routes and paths and, you know, for warfare. And, you know, that's the thing that scares me. Their tech is getting pretty good. You know, it used to be a time we'd laugh at it, but not no more. And I don't even know if we can compete with them in some regards anymore. So scary stuff. I watched a YouTube documentary thingy kind of about that. And it was about, like, the depths of the ocean being the last frontier of the world, where it's just there's so many unknowns. And it's a race of the superpowers of the world to figure it out. Mainly what they were insinuating was for power, generating energy out of, I don't know, it's way over my head, but they did mention that, you know, China's been at the forefront of diving the depths and mapping the ocean floor and just doing tons of research. They weren't saying anything about war, but, you know, that's always an MO for China. So it is kind of crazy, and I don't know if we're doing anything to compete with that, but I don't know. It's hard to do that. But then you see things, too, where Iran's got Chinese weaponry, and they're failing left and right. So it's like, are they giving them the garbage, or are they deliberately dumbing down their technology when they sell it to other nations, or is their stuff truly just garbage, like the reputation that they usually have of cheap garbage? Yeah, no, it's you know, who knows, right? You know, this mapping of the ocean floor, like you said, they think it's for one reason and one reason only. You know, it's not for, you know, scientific research. It's it is scientific, but you know, it's they're mapping. You know, they're doing a roadmap for moving their nuclear subs around and their warships. It's frightening, and the counter is we probably are too. You know, I mean, or maybe we already have. Maybe they're just playing catch-up. That's the part I don't know, right? So, the best way to try to figure out, you know, capabilities, and I don't know if even that, even it is not, you know, is the end-all, but James, you know, if James would be able to tell you, you know, what they're doing or what their capabilities are, what they feel that they're, you know, doing with it.
It does make you wonder what's going to shake out over the next decade. It's kind of scary. I would hope, and I think they're playing catch up, right? You would like to think that the superpower of the world that dumps billions and billions of dollars into the military a year have already done this or are actively doing it. We just move much more silently than China, kind of like Korea, who likes to boast about everything they do. But who knows, man? You just don't know.
I remember, you know, they used to publish, you know, like you'd get the magazine, and you know, it'd be like stacking up our arsenal against Russia's, you know, and when we were kids, we were still living in that post, you know, era, you know, Red Scare era, where it was the Cold War, and it wasn't the way you see all these, you know, pictures of boomers hiding underneath their desk and stuff like that. I don't understand any of that. This was much later, but you get, you know, Newsweek and these other magazines would hit the house, and there'd be articles on this, and, you know, they'd show, like, you know, they just pretty much would be a numbers game. You know, it's like, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles, you know, Russia, you know, has, you know, 372, you know, United States has 250, and you're like, oh, my God, they got us by 100, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles. You know, but then you find out that, well, yeah, but there's, have a sudden rubber band to them in order to, you know, help them, you know, that, you know, ours are all state of the, you know, it's never that easy, right? But it's still, it's designed to, you know, then you find out that, you know, when you, I heard another rumor, it's like, you know, once you hear about some technology coming out of the government, like military, you know, it's probably 10 years old already, you know, it's like they've already had it, you know, for 10 years by the time it hits the world. So, you know, is that the case? Is it not the case? Is it just, you know, wishful thinking? I don't know. W8FU.
I was just going to say the same thing. Chances are, if it's public knowledge, it's well past the inception date, and it's probably retired at that point. Or it's been around long enough that it doesn't matter if people know about it. But, yeah, you just don't know. I see it on YouTube all the time, too, when I was watching a couple of news clips where it was like, U.S. versus Iran military, you know, this many aircraft carriers, this many jets, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, of course we have more than Iran. But, you know, China's just, even if their stuff sucks, it's a numbers game. They've got a lot of people and a lot of weaponry, so who knows. But I am backed in on my spot here, so I'm going to jump out, and I'll probably catch you this afternoon. I'll clear out after you, N8DBF.
Yep, as usual, perfect timing. I'm turning into the parking lot right now. Find a parking spot and get inside. Have a good one. W8FU. Yeah. KF8FGS. We'll talk to you guys maybe this afternoon. Enjoy listening to the banter. And it's a lot of it's propaganda, but we are way ahead. That's what Greenland's all about. Take care, fellas. KF8FGS. Clear. Monitoring. Yeah, I got time for one last one as I pull into my spot here. But, yeah, I would like to think that that's the case. I hope so. So, you know, and that's kind of what I've always thought my whole life. But, you know, sometimes you look at it and you kind of wonder. So, all right, catch you later. Definitely finished now. W8FU.
KD8WOJ.
Morning, WOJ. This is KF8FGS.
Good morning, FGS. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Got a busy day today. Got to get out and about. I take care of my dad, so I pick him up from his assisted living apartment. We got a doctor's appointment today, so it'll be good to see Dad. I'm 70, so you can only imagine how old he is.
Oh, gotcha. I'm 72 myself, so well, it's good you get to spend time with him there. Both of my folks are gone. Gone for quite a while there. And I know what you mean. It seems like a whole lot of people ain't feeling too good lately.
Yeah, well, I don't know, physically perhaps. Dad's the winner, and Dad's, you know, he's 90-something. He does pretty good, though. He does pretty good. What's your call and your name?
Yes, sir. It's Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet. Rick, I'm over here in West Bloomfield, kind of over here near Pontiac.
Roger that. Yep, I know West Bloomfield. I'm in Shelby Township, and I'm just getting back in after a long hiatus, just getting back into radio, and I got my tech back in December, as soon as they reopened the government, and I'm working through the general book, about halfway through the general study, and hopefully get that done in the next month or so, so I can get back up to HF. This is, my name is David, it's KF8FGS, that's kilowatt freight for finding good signals.
Connected to CMN Network.
Well, nice to chat with you there, David. I have heard you on here before, but I don't think we haven't actually spoken. And, I've had my ticket about 3 years, I guess. And I started studying for the general, and I've got a clear note and hot spot and some other goodies. And I thought, what am I doing? I got a, you know, I could talk all over the world now on my tech license. So that kind of took the air out of my sails there for getting a general.
Oh, I fully understand. You know, I got Echolink and I haven't gone to the hotspot yet unless my phone is considered a hotspot. But, when I was in the radio in the past, it was back in the late 60s. I was in junior high school. And, it was a five-word novice kind of a thing. And, high school and studies and girls and career and college and all this stuff, you know, kind of interfered. And then it was, you know, boats and cabins and all of that sort of thing. And I did stay with Citizen Band for quite a while until it got so stupid. And then went to GMRS, so I maintained that ticket. And but I wanted to talk around the world. I really figured, Rick, that I'd be, because what I remembered, you could warm your hands over the tubes. Even the CB radios were huge. Tube type back then, you know, in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, and then, of course, they went solid state, you know, in the mid-70s, and when everybody and their brother got a CB radio for Christmas, I think it was like 1976, and I got real disenchanted after it, because I'd been involved for several years, you know, as a teenager, you know, in my car, and we all had radios in our cars, and, you know, and we thought we were cool. Well, I guess we were, but at any rate, there's no more warming the hands over the tube. So I've learned some of the different programming routines and what have you. And I got a DMR. I'm talking on a DMR handheld, dual band handheld with DMR. And so I got that program, but I don't know anything about the DMR, so I got to research that. But I mostly did it because I want HF. I want to go HF with RF. Back to you, Rick.
Yeah, I kind of got started too back in the 60s, or late 70s there. I came back from Montana. I tried to move out to Montana, but I couldn't find any work out there, except government sending contracts out in the mountains there. That didn't pay too well. But anyway, I came back from Montana. My dad was into it. He was into it, CV big time. And then I got I went to work with a carpenter building some custom houses, and the guy had a little site business there in Oxford selling CB radios, and he got me to do all the installations for him, so I got kind of hooked. It was about the time they went from 23 channels to 40 channels, but I was already solid state by then. I think I'd be hooked back then, but it was kind of nice because in the evenings, like Oxford, Lake Orion, all the little towns, a lot of the families would sit around in the evening with the radio and talk back and forth kind of thing. It was really kind of interesting there. But it lost its appeal real quick when, just like you, I started chasing wine, women, and song, you know. Wine, women, and song and work and pretty much took care of most of my time.
Yeah, roger that. It's a different world now, but there's so much to offer, and there's so much technology in these little bitty boxes. I got a I picked up actually it was a gift from my wife, an Anytone mobile, and it's really small, but you can get a 500,000 contacts in that thing. It does, you know, DMR as well as analog, tri-band, this and that. So I'm trying to, I'm in the process of programming that, and I felt blessed with, you know, my wife is cool with it, and you know, she spent a whole paycheck on this radio. So, like I said, I'm learning the different programs and what's available out there. But for in the vehicle, this is a 10-watt HT, and I tell you what, it seems to do just fine with the wonderful system of the network of repeats. I'm looking at the CMN hub here on the computer, and there's got to be 20, more than 20 repeaters all linked up. So, you know, we're broadcasting almost statewide. Back to you, KD8WOJ.
Oh, yes, sir. Linked repeaters, they are the tickets there. Same thing, I got a DMR radio, Anytone 878. I got another one, too. Actually, a couple of them. when I started, I must have spent 6 months trying to get that thing to work. I just couldn't, I don't know, something I wasn't figuring out kind of thing. I couldn't get it to work. And I finally got it to work, and then that was, it was sort of like I finally climbed the mountain kind of thing. And, it's a whole lot of fun. But anyway, I kind of like talking on HubNet over there in the United Kingdom there. And they pretty much got the whole country, plus Scotland and, what is it, next door, Wales, I think, all linked on these repeaters there. So when you talk to one, you're talking to pretty much the whole country. It's kind of cool. I enjoy the heck out of it. And I can get around all over the place, and I don't have to have a yard full of antennas.
Well, there you have it. Yep. And especially, you know, I know some of the guys live in condos and stuff, and it makes it very difficult for them with the HOA rules and all this stuff. But, you know, I live, it's not really country. I've got a rural mailbox, you know, in our neighborhood here. And I like building things. I've already built two antennas. In fact, I'm talking on one right now. The guys tease me. I had built a J-pole before I got my license. And, you know, a copper J-pole. And I just put it back in the garage up in the rafter. And then I was sitting in my truck, and we're talking on some of these nets, and I'm thinking, man, this is crazy. I'm having to start the truck. It's freezing cold out here. And I looked over by the house, and one of the guys was talking about a broomstick antenna. And I saw the broom on the back porch. And I said, interesting. So I went to the garage, got the antenna, and a shovel. And there was no frost right up next to the house by the dining room window. So I stomped the shovel in the ground, strapped that J-pole on top of that shovel, and the flower bed was elevated a bit, so it's about 10 feet off the ground to the tip. And that's what I'm talking on now. So they teased me about the shovel handle J-pole. I said, well, it'll work just fine until I can, until it's warm enough, I can get up on the chimney and get something up 40 feet. So we'll see what happens with that. Hey, Rick. This is TF8. Finding good signal. Back to you.
Well, David, it just goes to show where there's a will, there's a way. When I started too, all I had was a really nice mobile antenna. So I ran KMR 400 out the basement there, and out the cars are parked next to the basement over there, and I stuck a mobile mount on top of the car, and I was running a 991A in the basement off of that mobile antenna for a long time, and then if I wanted to go anywhere, of course, I had to grab the magnet mount off of there and set it in the bushes and put it back when I got back. But yeah, and the same thing, I wanted to play around with building a couple of J-poles, but never seemed to get around to it. But there's always some kind of projects that are kind of fun and easy to do with this hobby.
Yep, all true. I'm looking at, I got plans right now, and I'm putting together material for a what they call a Super J. It's a collinear
It's a half wave on top of a half wave with a quarter wave coil between them, you know, separating them. And so we'll see what happens with that. It's supposed to have, you know, they claim 4 to 5 dB gain. I don't know if it will or not. You know, I'll have to measure. And that's another thing I like. I like the, you know, the measuring and the adjusting and field strength testing. You know, I love doing that kind of stuff. In my career, I came up as a plumber, you know, years and years ago, and did some continuing education when I had back to school, got my master's, ended up being a designer for plumbing, heating, and cooling systems. So I really like building things, and, you know, so I'm not unfamiliar with computers and what have you as far as, because everything is computer controlled anymore, and the radios are just, you know, another computer controlled tool, I guess you'd say. But yeah, I definitely I like building things, so I've got plans for on my property. I got room for a decent MFED and dipole, and I'm gonna put a loop for you know, maybe an 80 meter or a 160 loop around the property. So, you know, I got enough trees and a couple outbuildings in the house, you know, with gable ends. You know, I got the way the house is built, I got four gable ends on the house. So, I'm enjoying the hobby, and my wife is supportive of it, and I'm enjoying that aspect. So, and the radios are really pretty entry level. You can, like, right now I'm talking on a Baofeng DM32 digital UV. And it seems to do okay for 10 watts and a little bit of gain off that antenna. So this is what I use for my mobile, is the HT with the mag mount, similar to what you were doing there for sure. Back to you, Rick.
Yep, KEWJ, and yeah, those DM32s seem to have really good audio so far. Everybody I heard that had one was putting out really good audio. And I'm doing the same. I'm sitting on the porch here with Eddie Tone 878 and having a cigar. And I've got some neighbors that wander by, walking the dog. You'll bring the dog up for a little visit kind of thing. And I say, well, who are you talking to? I say, well, I'm talking to some guys over in England, you know. And they just freak out that this little handheld sitting on the porch and I can talk to people in England. It's kind of fun to see the look on their face. All right, go ahead, Dave. KEWJ.
You know, absolutely, absolutely. Now, the other day, my wife and I, we had to drive about an hour to an appointment. And so she was, you know, playing a Facebook game or, you know, whatever she was doing on her phone. And I'm talking to a couple of the guys and with real clear signal. You know, it's like, you know, he's in the back seat, you know. And so we talked, and she didn't say anything. She just was listening, and so we got done with our appointment and back in the truck, and we only got an hour to drive home. So we're talking, and I asked her, I said, well, what do you think of all this? And she said, well, at some point, the cell phones aren't going to work. The networks are all going to go down for one reason or another, and she said, radio is going to be the only way. She was she's military, ex-military. And she was involved in communications. And, you know, so she's had the good hardware, you know, back in the late 70s through the early 80s when she was involved. And she said, radios, it's the answer. It's all we got. So I was encouraged by her being up for it, you know, and not minding me spending a couple of shekels. And she also... I said, what do you think about me sitting on the radio? Because I put together a little shack in what was my home office in the past. And she said, well, at least I know where you are. So I got a kick out of that. KFA-FTS, back to you, KEAWOJ.
Yeah, and she's right when you think about it there, and I kind of had the same idea, and half of the reason I got into it, too, is that when all the disasters hit, you know, New Orleans and all the other kind of stuff that's happened around the country kind of thing, everything goes down except for it ends up being the local ham operators who keep the communications going and, you know, let the authorities know what's going on and, you know, what's happening here or there. I sort of like listening to and getting in on some of the, twice a year they have these simulated emergency testing for the counties. That's kind of a fun thing to listen to and kind of realize you got people out there that are volunteering their time and their energy and resources to, you know, kind of keep us all covered if something does happen.
No, absolutely right. I joined the, I'm in Macomb County here. I'm just over the county line into Macomb. And so I joined the Macomb Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And that's exactly what they do. Besides, you know, helping our traffic at parades and, you know, and the big county fairs and all that sort of thing. Why they've gotten involved with they do traffic control. If there's terrible accidents, they'll get mobilized and they'll deploy, you know, four or five guys to go out to, you know, do traffic control to free up the police and the firemen to do what they have to do. You know, never on the freeway, but, you know, locally, the bigger intersections in different places, you know, through Shelby and Warren, Sterling Heights and whatnot. And then it's just, that's a, you know, I'm trying to give back a little bit. And a great bunch of people, I tell you what, good bunch of people. It seems like there's not a stinker in the bunch. You know, I've been involved in some other clubs where, you know, there's always, you know, a lot of politics and, you know, this guy wanted to control things and that guy wanted to control things and getting crazy. But it doesn't seem to be that way with this group. And same with, I also joined with the Hazel Park Amateur Radio Club. And again, great bunch of guys. There's some crossover, you know, in there between those two groups and the group in Utica called USECA, which is Emergency Communications Association there, Utica Shelby. So, you know, it's, you can go bowling if you want and have your crew, and that's always fun. But this is a little, this is a step up, I believe. It's a step up. More dedicated people and people with a little more technical, perhaps, background. And at least people that want to learn the technical. So it's kind of cool in that regard. Well, I'll send it back to you, Rick.
K-C-A-K-J-O.
Good morning, Tom. And, yeah, Dave, I know what you mean. I kind of wanted to get back myself, so for a couple of years there I was doing getting in on the siren testing there. I kind of made me feel good to actually be doing something useful with the radios. K-E-W-O-K. Go ahead, Tom, and then pass it over to Dave.
Good morning, guys. I see you both are keeping the repeater nice and warm and toasty there. Dave, I forgot where you're located. You're in Macomb County, aren't you?
Roger that. Yeah, I'm in 21 in Auburn in Shelby Township is where we're at, Southwest Shelby. And been here for 30 years. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I kind of grew up in Roseville, so I kind of know Macomb halfway decent there. And then we got some property out in the Lakeville-Leonard area there, and we were driving back and forth all the time building the house. So it's I kind of know the way in and out of there quite well. One of my favorite stops on the way was Irma's Frozen Custard over there to Utica, one of my favorite places. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, Irma's. Yeah, Frozen Custard. Opening April 1st. So they open on April Fool's Day and they close on Halloween. Yeah, they got great ice cream. I like the coconut one.
Yeah, I remember that place when I was a kid. We would ride our bikes up there, but we wouldn't get the frozen custard. We would get a slush, they called it, you know, the crushed ice with, you know, the syrup and flavoring. And, we'd spend some of our paperboy money and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, that place is still there. It's been there a long time. They've improved the place, but it's still kind of tough because of the all the trucking around there. The Messina gravel, and then they got semi truck storage, and so once in a while, if it's really dry, the dust gets kicked up a little bit. But you know what? That place, people line up. There'll be 30 deep in line there. It's just amazing the amount of custard that place puts out. You know, back to you, Rick.
Yeah, it's pretty good ice cream, but I remember when I was a kid, it was actual custard, frozen custard. Holy cow, that stuff was good. So usually quite a few weekends there, my dad felt a little generous there. He'd run us up from Roseville over to Utica to get some frozen custard there. I'd always enjoy the heck out of it because my sister, we'd get these great, the biggest cones they had kind of thing. She'd eat just until she got to the cone, and then she'd give up. So I'd eat mine, and then I'd eat hers. I couldn't get enough of that stuff. John, go ahead.
That was a rare occasion when I was a kid that we went to Dairy Queen. I didn't know about her and my frozen custard, so I started dating my wife. And I was hooked on it. And he used to, on Halloween or the day before Halloween, before they closed, we would get a pint of his favorite custard. Now I can't eat it all that much. I'm so intolerant. I get a shot here and there. You know, talk to it. You know, I suffer through it sometimes, but it's worth it.
You're pretty scratchy there, Tom,
your last transmission. Yeah, that still is, it's not ice cream. It's definitely custard. They make it fresh every day. It only keeps, you know, for that, they only make enough for that day. So I remember as a kid, you know, I grew up in Roseville, too, and then moved out to Utica area. I remember that if they ran out, they'd close early. You're like, oh, sorry, you don't have any vanilla, so you have to have chocolate, or, you know, all we got are Slurpees or whatever. And but they've really made, I think it's still the same family. I'm not sure, where it falls in that, but it's definitely one of those places that that everybody remembers. You know, it's amazing. It's like the Coachman's up the street there on Auburn Road. You know, the tavern's been there forever.
Well, it seems like if they're still putting out frozen custard, I'm going to have to talk myself into heading over that way. But it seemed like for a while there, they quit with the custard. They had really good soft serve there for a while, but they must be back to the custard, which makes me tickled to death. KEWOJ, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been over there. Maybe my wife and I'll take a trip over there once the weather is a lot better. We've been going to this place in Marine City called the Sweet Shop, and they have Hudsonville ice cream. It's not soft serve, but it's really good. So we always try to get out there maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. All depends on how the month is going, kind of thing. And I'm probably going to get a little bit scratchy getting off of the Richmond repeater, too far for Romeo. And I don't have Dakotas in my radio yet. So I'm going to jump out, let you guys chit-chat, keep that repeater working and warm. I'll talk to you guys later, 7-3-3-8-KJO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, thanks for chiming in, Tom. I tell you what, that place is only, I'm going to pass that place today. I'll stop in, you know, Irma's, just to see if it's actually custard, because I don't want to steer anybody wrong and have you drive across town and
get disappointed. 73, sir, Tom. Rick, back to you.
Yeah, they won't be open yet for until April there. We got a loon calling on the lake over here. I always love hearing them. And another favorite place there around Utica, between 59, between Van Dyke and Hayes, there was a family there on the north side that had put an addition on their house, a little bakery, and they used to make homemade pasties. Oh, man, were those things good. Every time I'd go by there, I'd stop and get one of them pasties.
Yeah, I forget the name of that place. I remember we used to, yeah, definitely. But that's real food. Nowadays, you stop at McDonald's or any of the other fast foods, and you're getting a reconstituted frozen burger warmed up in a microwave. They don't even cook anymore. I think Burger King might cook, and maybe Hardee's, but the rest, none of the rest of them, and Wendy's, but the rest of them don't actually cook. It's either flash frozen and then reconstituted. So, yeah. Well, do you remember the name of that or where that pasty place was? It might still be there. Back to you, Rick.
No, I'm pretty sure it's gone. I think it got wiped out when they expanded, widened 59 there, because it used to be back then. It used to be a two-lane, highway there. Now it's divided. And I think those houses along there got kind of wiped out there, but man, it sure was good. I kind of miss those.
Yeah, definitely. The places that I remember when they paved M-59, or they repaved it, and it was an old highway between Utica and Mount Clemens. And I remember being, this is in the, mid-60s, early 60s, I'd say maybe 62, and Dad would say, why do we need, it was just two lanes, it's a ribbon highway, straight shot, why do we need this highway, there's nobody's going to ever use this, and now look at it today, the Golden Corridor, they call it. Back to you, Rick.
Oh, yeah, I guess they call it progress. I remember where the Macomb Mall was. It used to be a farm field right there. There's a big old abandoned farm on the corner with a barn right across from Zombo's Market. That was a long time. Seemed like a million years ago. T-A-W-O-J.
Oh, yeah, that, I remember that. We were at, just north of Frazo. Off of east of Gratiot there. I remember the place to go shopping was, this is kind of, I think, before Kmart and whatnot. It was a place called Tops. And Mom would put my baby brother in the little wagon, and I'd walk, and she'd pull that wagon, and we'd go to Tops and whatnot, and we always would get, there was a little ice cream parlor there, and I'd get a fudge bar. I remember I really liked the fudge bars. So, yeah, it was, those were good times. I got to say, those are good times. I don't know if people experience that kind of stuff today anymore. I hope so. KFA FTS, Becky Rick.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure the kids today are probably the same kind of way. They'll, in 20 years from now, remember the good old days when, it seems like we're kind of running out of places now. It seems like they're building homes and strip malls and just about anything they could on any little piece of bare land. So pretty soon it's going to be just all city as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, that's metropolitan Detroit. I mean, there's 5 million people in metropolitan Detroit and 10 million in the whole state. So it kind of tells a story. Right now, I'd say that, down in Riverview all the way up here to Shelby, it's solid solid businesses and homes. There's few vacant fields left. But as a kid, we used to work the truck farms off of Hall Road. You know, they had rhubarb farms, and they had, you know, there's tomatoes and rhubarb, pumpkins, and all that stuff. We did everything we could to earn a nickel. And what it like today, where I tried to get the neighbor kid, a couple years ago, pardon me, tried to get the neighbor kid to mow my lawn. He's a kid about 19 or 20, and he obviously didn't move around much. And so I would see him out in the yard every now and then. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody to mow my lawn, you know. I said, I'll give you $20 and use my machine and, you know, just ride around and mow the lawn. And he looked at me, and he said, if I need $20, I'll ask my mom. And I tell you what, that just blew me away, absolutely blew me away. We always had two or three jobs, you know, turning gardens in the spring and picking weeds through the summer and mowing lawns and raking leaves and shoveling snow and washing windows. We did whatever. We had paper, multiple paper routes, whatever we could to save a buck. And as kids, we had money in the bank. I mean, I can remember being, you know, like 12, 13 years old, and this is back in, you know, the 60s. I always had $20, $25 back then in my pocket, and had bank account, you know, building up a bank account, saving for college, you know. But I always made sure that I paid myself, not just put all the money in the bank. So, and people used to say that my dad was frugal. Well, he's Scotch English. He's just cheap. And I think, I'm hoping some of that rubbed off on me. You know, back to you, Rick.
Yeah, I kind of grew up over there by where the McComb Mall is now, and my grandparents lived over in St. Clair Shores, right around Joy and in between Harper and Jefferson there. And on Saturdays, they'd get me to come over and cut their lawn kind of thing, and they were usually gone. And so the payment for the lawn mowing was raiding their freezer for ice cream. So, every time I got done, I'd raid the freezer. the good old days.
Yeah, that's a good story. It's good stuff. But, I'm just hoping, you know, I heard the guys talking earlier today about, you know, our military and whatnot, and how, you know, are we behind? I mean, is China ahead of us? And I got to believe that, I don't know if you heard that, they were talking about mapping the oceans, and, you know, they've released information that China's doing that. Well, I tell you what, we've been in oceans for a long time, and I got a feeling that that's why the military's interested in Greenland, you know, as a gateway to the Arctic seas and whatnot. So, but it's all good. And I remember they were talking about the Cold War and that. I remember, you know, doing the air raid drills, not just tornado, but air raid drills in school, where we would not dive under the desks, but we would go out in the hallways, you know, because it's all block walls. We'd go out in the hallways, you know, and sit cross-legged and put your head between your knees and cover your head, and, you know, and it was all the Red Menace, and, you know, they really, through the schools and through all of that, really were able to train up a whole generation to be wary of the Red Menace, which is still a problem today. KF8FTS, back to you, Rick.
Got you in there, Breaker. And, yeah, I remember them days, Dave, at Greater Gratiot Elementary School. Only we did dive under the desks kind of thing. It was kind of interesting. I always thought it was kind of fun because it was a break from the educational portion of it. Go ahead, Breaker, and I'll pass it over to Dave, K8WOJ.
KJ8WOJ from WBABHN. The handle here is 7 Sierra Echo Victor India Mike 7. And I was just reading the mail on you guys. I just did a presentation for my ham club back in Illinois. I'm visiting here for family in Dearborn Heights, and part of the presentation was rocket science and the Nike and Bullmark sites in various places around the country, like Detroit, Chicago, L.A. So, yeah, the dive and cover is what I remember. So, yeah, interesting discussion. I guess over to you, Dave. This is WBADHN Portable 8.
All right, 7. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I grew up in the shadow of a Nike radar installation. The missile installation was around the corner, and Rick, you may remember that place. They're north of up Orion, there north of Auburn. But they had, yeah, I can remember it at night with the windows open. We didn't have air conditioning, so we had the windows open at night, and we could hear the, you know, the 60 cycle hum from all that equipment. You know, the radar and the scanners and the command and control. And I remember, all the at this base, they had the weekend warriors. The National Guard would come out, and they always had a fresh batch of guys. And they had the helicopters flying the brass in and out. And they, every now and then, they'd have a Chinook, you know, when the early Chinooks, when they were small, they'd come in, and we'd come running toward that fence, and we just were enthralled with that. And then in 72, President Nixon shut it all down because the Nikes were defense against bomber planes, not against the missiles. So what do you do? But it was, yeah, we remember all that, and the duck and cover and all that, and it, I think they should bring that back, personally. I really do. This is KF-8 FGS. Back to you, Rick.
Yeah, I remember to the tank plant on Band-Aid there. I think it was north of 12 or north of 13. I can't remember now. But I remember going by there and watching the new tanks coming rolling around and running on the track back there. That used to tickle the heck out of me. I didn't get your name there, 7, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay, real fine. Yeah, the name is 7. The last two letters are IM, India Mike, and the call is WB8BHN, Bravo Hotel, November. And, yeah, just interesting in hearing your testimonies that you guys are giving, similar to the ones in Chicago. One of the sites in Chicago, when I put it up on the PowerPoint, he goes, yeah, after they decommissioned it, we took a rope and we dropped the rope down into one of the silos and went down in there, you know, oh boy, before they tore the site down. So, yeah, glad to hear it. Not sure who takes it next, WBHN.
Yeah, 7, this is David. I'll take it. I'm going to have to sign off, guys. I got to get over to my dad and get him prepped to go to the doctor this morning. So, and he and I talk about this stuff, too. He remembers, you're talking about the tank plant. That was at 11th Van Dyke. And then there was the missile plant that you might be thinking of. LTD had a missile plant up around 17, or between 16 and 17 on Van Dyke. And everybody we knew worked in the military-industrial complex. It was really something, really something. Well, Rick, this has been a great QSO, and 7, it's glad you're here visiting. Good to hear you on the air. This is KF-8-FGS. That's kilowatts. Kilowatt freight for finding good signals. We'll be, say, 73. It'll be clear after your finals.
Okay, Dave, it's been a pure pleasure talking with you this morning. I hope we can do it again there, and be careful out there on the roads, and hopefully we'll catch you later. K8WOJ and 7, good talking with you, too. I'm going to be getting on out of here, too. My hands are froze, and I think it's about time for breakfast. My stomach's chewing at my backbone. So you guys have yourself a good one. We'll catch you later. K-E-A-W-O-J. I'll be clear.
K-E-A-W-O-J. K-F-8. Finding good signals. Good to meet up with you guys, and hope to talk to you again here on this repeater. It's a great repeater. 73s, have a good day, and good hump day here. WBAPHN. So long, guys.
W8BHN. Just one. You're on a repeater in Detroit that's linked to about, I would say, 20 or more repeaters right up through through the east side of Detroit and up through central Michigan, up into all the way to Mackinac City. So, yes, this is a wonderful network. It's called the CMN Network, and it's wonderful. And a lot of times they use it for emergency communication. So when there's storms and stuff, they disconnect all the repeaters somehow in the storm-ridden areas so that our local public service corps can utilize it to, to help manage, problems and breaking down trees and wires to assist the first responders to free them up to do what they do best. So, yeah, glad to have you, 7. This is, again, KF8FGS, finding those good signals, 73, and we're out of here. Oh, one other thing, 7, there's quite a group of guys on here in the morning commute and the afternoon commute, if you want to take a listen.
I'll try and do it. Thanks again for the info. It's a nice place to be, warm place to be. Take care. Have a great day. WBAPHN. Catch you guys later, hopefully sooner than later.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
N8ROZ.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU. Promise? I'm wearing his underwear. All right, just making sure. Oh, man, I put in a bid on one of those R7s. I lowballed the guy. He came back with a $10 off counter. I'm almost glad.
So you didn't get it? I'm not cool enough to have one of those yet.
got to thinking, you know, I could spend that, you know, when you had that, when tax and shipping and all that stuff, you know, you're putting near $7. Well, that's a long ways toward getting something I really want, right? You know, that's a good hunk of getting, a multi-protocol radio or something like that. So I don't know. I was debating. Got my eye on a 7500 VHF, UHF R1. Been thinking about that for the mobile. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do best offer and only go, make it $5 less than your list price, and I'm not even going to bother.
Yeah, he was asking $675, and I know I threw him a low one, but I said $625, see where it goes. He counters with $665. I'm like, yeah, I'll pass.
Oh, there you go. I'm unboxing more hard drives that have to get erased and organizing and getting all the screws and mounts off of them. So I can start that. I got two laptops that I'm imaging. I'm trying to figure out. I'm also, I took some photos. I think I'm going to put the Wise rack mounts up on Etsy. Start selling a couple of those. People keep asking me for them, so I figured I'd put a... Took some photos this morning when I swapped those off the build plate. But trying to decide if I need to go to Davisburg or not. I have stuff to go there. It's just, do I really want to put pants on and go do that today? That's the rough decision. Do I want to put pants on?
Well, putting pants on is always a big decision. It means you just have to do real work, or I should say public work. So I don't know. Don't know how to help you with that one.
I think Paul, or no, Ben is the only one I know of that has an R7. Man, for $700, that was tempting, but no thank you. Not after my tax. I did my tax this Sunday, and I'm like, yeah, nope. Yeah.
Well, this one was claimed to be, like, open box, still had the cellophane on the display or whatever, the plastic on the display, one-year warranty, it was a pretty good setup. Good tags and all that stuff, and loaded FPP, everything like that. So, checked all the boxes. But you can find them a little better than that if you're willing to go, used excellent. But this, this one here was particularly good because it was allegedly unused, open box or whatever, new old stock or something, or reconditioned or something like that. I don't know. But, with the one-year warranty and all that stuff, and So, you might be able to find a little better deal, but not much. I think the best I saw was about $625 or something like that, $630.
Joy. Yeah, for... Kind of rough to find. That's why I said it's tempting at that price because of what I saw that the listing was.
Now, but then that brings up the tape. Tri-band, multi-protocol. If that's a third of the way to that. Of course, it depends on what you define as, how you define that tape. If you want it full-blown with, 800 and,
you know, full type 2, you know, trunking, including TDMA and all the encryption levels and all that, you know, you can run that baby up, you know, real fast. But, you know, you could get one of those with VHF, UHF, multi-protocol, P25 conventional. You can still add all that other stuff later, but, you know, including the extra bands and all that stuff. But you could do something like that, and, you know, that you're a third of the way to that. So, man. Or maybe a quarter of the way.
I dropped the mic, sir. Yeah, but I don't know. I get it for, like, if you're doing an all-in-one in your mobile install, but I like having my 800, my UHF, you know, the radios because of the scan, and, okay, this scans those talkers. This scans those talkers. You put it all in one like that,
you're connected to CMN Network.
So I've never really been a scanner guy. I don't generally scan, but I like to have everything available. I just don't scan it normally. You know what radio really impresses me? If you looked at the Viking, not the 8000, which is, you know, which is, or whatever the mobile, you know, they got the VP, which is the portable, and they got the VM, I think, whatever they're, the mobile. They got the mobile 8K, which is kind of like a 8500 APX. It's all three bands and multi-protocol in one box. And then you got a control head that, you know, can show one, you know, one thing or something like that at any given moment. But then they got the 7000 series, which is a stacked arrangement. So you buy the VHF, and you can have multiple VHF, multiple UHF. You know, the stacking is pretty incredible. And but you can have, you know, let's say you would have the VHF module, the UHF module, the 800 module, and, you know, and then the 800 you would probably have lit up with multi-key, you know, encryption, the whole nine yards, everything you need on that. You wouldn't need that on the VHF and the UHF, obviously. You wouldn't even need DMR on the VHF, you know, or, you know, so there's a lot of flexibility as far as that goes. But the coolest part, there's a control head option where each radio has its own line on the display. So you've literally got one control head with all three radios represented.
And then each of your drawers are up. Yeah, that I like. It's not so much maybe scanning. Like, I just know, like, if my Apex is on 800, I can't, it doesn't want to scan. It'll only scan the 800 talkers. It won't scan my UHF channels. That being said, it's nice to flip off network and go, you know, to UHF P25. I'm only hearing the one radio, but I don't know. I do like the drawers, one head drawer thing though. That I can get behind. Oh, you got some guy on Oxford node on your hub. That's that noise coming from.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you could see where that's coming from. I'm mobile. I wonder if he's got a Sherry node. I've seen many of those do exactly that. And I wouldn't be the first. Don's used to always do that. But, yeah, so I got to get a price on one of those. It's probably prohibitively expensive, you know, understandably. But you could do it modular. You know, you could start off by just buying the UHF multi-protocol module, and then, you know, later on when you got some coin, add the VHF module. So you could do it that way, and maybe, you know, that might be a way to get into something like that over time. But what else was I going to say? There was something else, and now I've completely slipped my mind.
Whoever KD8VSG is, it's his module in Oxford. But, holy crap, a squirrel just ran across the front window, and it its bushy tail, like, blocked one of the cameras completely. Like, what the hell? I'll stick with what I got for right now. See if the rest of this neighbor's fence comes in. I like the, oh, there goes the squirrel back the other way. Michelle's not even putting bird seed out of there anymore. All the squirrels are getting it. But, oh, I'm ready for a nap already. It's only 11 o'clock.
Yuppers. All right. 2705 is in my sight. Got a meeting there with a couple of crews. Try to figure some things out. So I'm going to make this my last and get in there and try to figure out what the hell's going on. We have a shelter with some mystery equipment that we got to try to figure out before we just cut the cord. After yours, W8FU.
I say cut it. You'll figure out who it is, what it is really quick then. YOLO. WS. Oh my god, you know how to heat a repeater up in Maysville, dumbass.
Now I think he's just screwing with you. KDAV.
Now he's just screwing with himself.
I don't know what's going on. I was just listening to you and Sean talk about super expensive radios that I'll never be able to afford.
Yeah. Well, you know, those retired folks.
The retired folks got all the money. They can afford those radios.
What's funny is he goes over to Mount Clemens then because, you know, Mayville gets done. He's full quieting into Mount Clemens because that's where he's closest to. Oh, no. Look at, now he's playing with himself over there.
Some people don't have anything better to do, says the guy who's listening to the radio. And listening to conversations between two people he's never met.
Alright, well that guy is the Oxford guy. No, they're making noisy noises. Because, you know, that's what that's for.
So he's connecting via an all-star node? Is that what's going on?
No, that noise is somebody's node making noise, but the guy Kerchunking is the guy that was thinking he was cute to send a signal to Mayville, and when that got isolated from Mount Clemens, he moved to there. Separate.
Is he moving to Detroit now? Oh, poor guy moved to Detroit.
By the way, KDAZAX, the name is John.
Go back to work, W.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8, November Victor, monitoring.
Hey, DBF.
Out and about at this time, K-E-A-R-U-H.
See you, Dakota. A triple. Anthony?
What's going on, fellas?
Well, Dave and Dakota were out here talking IT stuff. Dakota's got a frustrating IT situation, and I just had Lost Tortugas. Tacos, and so life is good. Dave? All right, I lost track of where we're at. I was trying to answer an email while driving. Does that constitute distracted driving?
Very much so. Yeah, those guys must have taken off. I haven't heard anything. I'm about to pull back into the shop here, so I got one more in me. Are you on your way back to the shop?
I wonder if the two are disconnected, because I'm hearing you on Warren, and I was hearing both of those guys on Mount Clemens. But I know Dakota had to check out. Yeah, I'm just, I was out on the road, and I've got to run back for a meeting, a 2 o'clock meeting, and that should end my day pretty much. So that should make it about your last. I'll let you go ahead and clear whatever you got to do.
All right, yeah, I'm pulling in. I'll catch up with you soon, maybe on the afternoon drive. Enjoy the rest of your day, and hopefully the meeting goes well. K-8-R-U-H, I'll be clear.
Yeah, CMN died because you guys disappeared on me.
Yeah, that's weird. I fixed the microwave, so we shouldn't be losing, dropping anymore. Oh, well, I'm not in a position to look at it to analyze. Anywho, what else was I all about? Oh, Dakota's getting all getting all moto turboed.
Yeah, I saw you bought an R7, so I'll be curious what he thinks of it. I honestly should sell. He's got the good idea. I should probably sell some of my stuff. Like, I could probably get some money from my Kenwood. I got the same Kenwood that he sold.
Yeah, he'd be going from, you know, dual band to mono band, but that's a consideration. But I understand that Kenwood's a pretty good radio. Yeah, I put in a bid on one. It's a good deal, and I put in a kind of a lowball bid. I went 50 below the guy's asking. He came back with $10 off, and I said, you know what? Screw it. So I told Dakota, I texted him, and I said, look, I go, he ordered the 7550 before he decided to pull the plug on the R7. I'll take the 7550 off his hands, and, you know, that way he doesn't have to worry about wasting money there. And I can live without, because if I'm going to spend that, you know, it's like I'd like to get one. I really would. It's a nice radio. It's got some nice features, especially with noise canceling and whatnot. But, you know, if I'm going to start spending that kind of money, I got other radios I'd like to buy. They're even more expensive. That would be a good portion of the way there.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, we're connected. I looked at that, and I go, that's a decent price. And it's cool that the R7s are now in the, the disposable range or whatever, because people are getting the other ones, I guess. But I have that other one, what's his name, WRO has, the CS7000 or whatever, which is basically like a, it's like a clone of a Motorola, just, Kinect systems instead of Motorola. But they clone the CPS almost exactly. It's funny.
Yeah, and I think that's a dual band as well, if not mistaken. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. And then add to that the promise of P25 at some point. Now, whether that ever happens or not remains to be seen. But, yeah, that radio is dual band, and any possibility of it being P25 in the future, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd be all lined up for that bad boy. But I wonder if the P25 promise is just a pipe dream.
Let's try over here, NADF. Yeah, I'm going to make this my final because I'm about to pull into Costco. Oh, wow, they put a stop sign here. They're making everybody stop. It's UHF only, and, yeah, I saw that promise. It's never been delivered. It does have the RAM capacity, but this is what's going to happen. If it ever does have P25, it's probably going to be one of those things like what Wally's got where you got to switch the mode. So I wouldn't get too hopes up too high with it. But all right, I'll hand it over to Dakota. I'll talk to you guys later. KF8S.
Later, Dan. Was I not coming through on UMP? Well, you said you had to sign out, and so I just assumed that happened. But somewhere right about when you signed out, I think the two systems lost connection somehow. So yes, there was a period of that.
All right, yeah, I could hear you guys on UMP, and I tried three times to break in, and there's no way you guys wouldn't have heard me, so it's weird. But anyway, I got your text. Yeah, I'm probably good with that because I don't really necessarily need two of the same things. The only caveat to that would be if I sell my ID50, then I'd like to keep the XPR to keep in my bag. But again, probably highly not necessary. That seller is actually pretty damn good and responsive. I messaged them about the 25 kilohertz key, and he's like, here, shoot me a text with your Motorola account. And just kind of like doing a very good customer service so far. So hopefully the radio is what it's advertised to be, which I think he's got 100% reviews, so we'll see.
Thank you.
Well, I was just throwing it out there because, you know, I know you kind of said, you know, damn, I should have, you know, I was getting this other one. I don't care one way or the other, and I kind of want to make sure it was able to, you know, to get that Latin American firmware, you know, the Wally trick. You know, that would be kind of a condition, but whatever, it's up to you. You know, like I said, I mean, that works too, and I could just go get one from the guy, right, you know, and I just flat out ask him, is it whatever Wally said I need to figure out. All right, I got to jump out of here. I got to do a few things, and then I got to get to a 2 o'clock meeting, so. WNFU.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we'll figure it out. NATBF.
EEADOU.
KADOU, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Joe here. I just got a Yazoo 7850 that I'm trying to 7250, I'm sorry. As you may, I just wonder how it's working and so on.
I think I talked to you the other day about that radio. You got some noise, but when you're in. Like, you're coming in good, just you got fry. But it's not like I'm too far away fry. It's like interference fry.
That could be the magnum on the antenna I'm using. I don't know. I'm still trying to get used to it here and checking it out, trying to get fine-tuned it, I guess, and figure out how that fusion works. If it's working, I can't tell on this end, but I got to read the book a little bit more. Maybe I'll learn it from, you know.
The best part of getting a new radio is learn how to use it. If I were to nitpick anything, which actually, the more I listen, the more I'm thinking it might be part of the problem, is your mic gain seems a little hot, almost to where you're clipping. Maybe bump that down a smidge and see what you sound like.
I don't have to do that when I'm not driving, so I just suggest everybody fine-tune that. You get in there, change the settings around. I'm kind of going with it, trying to make sure it works right and fine-tune it as I go along from there, you know.
Yeah, I don't think the UMP is receiving right now. Which repeater are you going into?
Be honest with you, I have no clue. I thought no, this.
Okay. Does it say a frequency?
I think it's sometimes it's called kind of AOL.
I am not sure which repeater that is. I'm assuming that's a Central Michigan machine then.
Give me about a minute, I'll be in the parking lot where I can hit the button and see what frequency is reading and go from there.
Hey, Dakota, he's on Warren in HWRO.
Interesting. Okay, I'm on Warren. And if you're looking at the dashboard, is UMP length? I'm so confused because I can't transmit to it, but I can hear it.
Yeah, I noticed the same. You can hear it. It is linked showing on the dashboard, but apparently transmit is not working, I guess.
WAW has some static in the background, too.
That's something on my end?
Very much so. KD8VAX.
One thing I forgot to mention is I'm using a closed code plug off my Icon 5100. I kind of just popped it in there for the repeater, local repeaters. And I got to make some changes on that. But I guess I got to start, I guess.
Dakota, I'm thinking he might do better on TJs in Detroit.
Thank you.
Maybe. I got some noise coming in on it. But, yeah, I'm 94 right now. Was going into Warren, which I was just thinking it's probably not going to sound good. But the other station, check your antenna connection to the stop, too. I'm not sure where you're geographically located. You might be too far from the machine, but you've definitely got a lot more static now.
If you meant me, I'm at 15 and Ryan, and I'm getting other people on the repeater loud and clear.
You think that repeater is in Warren? Because I'm in Livonia, middle of Livonia pretty much.
Yeah, I'm on the 442.6000 machine.
Is,
NHCAF, I'm on the ump.
Sorry, the two of you doubled there. KD8VAX.
Okay, I'm back. I'm on 447.600 megahertz.
Yeah, you're on the Warren machine.
So what's the machine, what, 4435?
Yeah, 442.460, and when I transmit 447.600, you are correct.
All right, well, I'm going to clear out because I'm too far east to be transmitting in Warren, so I'll be back out here later. Hopefully, you'll see this back. KDAF, I'll be there. KDAF,
VAX, clear.
To help guys, I'll catch you another time there, and I'll keep in touch and learn how this thing is working, you know, and figure it out. Thanks for the help, and I'll catch you later. KE8DOU, clear up your finals.
KE8DOU from NAWRO, have a good one. NAWRO clear as well. Morning, Cliff, or afternoon, Cliff, sorry.
Monitoring, and good morning to you too, Tim. I'm in here on trying to talk through the 443.65, and I'm just wondering if it's getting through or not. I've been listening to these issues for a couple of days now.
Yeah, good copy now. Dakota was having troubles a few minutes ago, but good copy right now seems to be working. It is on the dashboard, and I can hear you well.
AF8FGS.
Well, come on in there, KF8FGS. This is NHCAF, and we got Tim, NAWRO, out there listening, too. How you doing today?
Actually doing well, and I heard Tim, and I thought I asked a question. Tim, when you get a second, when I get back to my base, if I could contact you, could help me out a little bit with that Discord, KF8FGS, that's you, NAWRO.
Yeah, no problem, David. Be happy to do that. I did notice I jumped in there this morning, and I see that you have two usernames, so we'll have to pick one and go with that one and get rid of the other. But we'll work something out. We'll get it going.
Roger that. Thanks, Tim. Who was that other station out there? I'm sorry I didn't catch your call.
Oh, that would be me. My name is Cliff. Call sign is November 8, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot.
November 8, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot. Yes, Cliff, I recall now. Yes. Well, it's good to hear you, too, as well. Yeah, I've been getting on here early in the morning, listening to the guys on their commute into town, to their jobs, and I feel real bad for them, but I'm just glad that they're out there working to support my Social Security check.
Well, we did our bit there, too, David, so we pulled our 30 years or thereabouts.
But yes, greatly appreciated. And yeah, I'll be pretty much home all day, so FBI is a good contact, or a statewide one, either one. Go ahead, Cliff, NACAF from NAWRO.
And soon enough, I too will be grateful for the support of the Social Security System, because I'm supposed to go on that stuff next year.
Yeah, we're going to shut the radio down for a minute here. I've got to transfer a different vehicle. We'll talk to you fellas in a minute. KF8FGS, be clear.
Yeah, good timing. I'm going to take a short break as well, but I will be listening. NAWRO, clear for now, but I will listen.
And NHCAF, I am also going to go back to clear and monitoring. Have a good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. 73 to you all. NHCAF, clear and monitoring. NHCON. Calling station, I did not catch your call sign. You're coming in a bit broken up, so you know, turn up your power, get closer to the repeater or something like that. I did hear you, it just wasn't clear, it was a little broken up. If that was you, it was just a burst of static this time on this end. You might want to go back to the holler repeater, 442.35. Nothing heard from the calling station. This is November 8th, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot, clear and monitoring.
Well, if anybody has any plans to go to Costco, don't. Oh my goodness.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WD8KLL in the mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
WASU.
WDAKLL on the mobile.
NAWRO. NAWRO KFS. KF8. FGS.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FGNAWRO, go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I was hearing more about Discord and whatnot, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't find it. I didn't know what I had done with it or what have you, so I need just a little help to get back on there.
Yeah, copy that. So are you doing it by a mobile, tablet, or desktop, or laptop?
I'm probably going to do laptop and mobile. Let's probably go with the laptop first, because that's what I'm going to, you know, I'll be sitting at my station, usually do it for the Discord, just to get used to running it. And then I can, I did see that the app, on the Play Store. KF8FGS.
Yeah, copy that. I'm on my desktop right now. I have a shortcut. I can't remember if that's an app or if it's just the website. Can you get to Discord, and we'll go from there?
Probably. I'll go into my programs and see what, because I did download it because I had it at one time. You had sent me a link, but a lot happened that week. In fact, a lot happened that day with WinLink and Discord and EchoLink and a whole bunch of stuff that I kind of slammed myself with. So let me go ahead and see if I can find that KF8FGS. We're looking.
Yeah, copy that, Dave, and I did send you a direct message. You're going to have to pick one of your usernames because there are two in our group, no big deal. But I did send you a direct message, and then you'd be able to reply. I did a friend request, and you can reply. But how about we do this? Just go to the website and look at our phone number there, and I'm option 3 on that phone number. And when you're ready, just call me direct, and we'll do that on the landline.
Thank you. Yep, I appreciate that. That's what we will do. Talk to you then. KF8FGS, clear.
NHWRO, clear as well.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KE8, are you 8?
Hey,
what's going on, Lance? How are you doing today?
Not too bad. I had to get the kiddos from the bus.
Good day for that. It's pretty nice out down here, at least 56 degrees. Better than snow and wind, that's for sure.
Yeah, way it has been going. That could be tomorrow.
Yeah, there's at least a 50% chance of it. Actually, around here at least, it's supposed to be like 65 and raining tomorrow, but I did see they're forecasting next Wednesday to be 72, so hopefully we're on the back end of all this winter weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, Mother Nature certainly needs to make up her mind.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that. Everybody in my house has been sick for like 3 weeks, and it's because of this up and down and rain and snow and terrible.
Yep, that'll definitely do it. But, yeah, I don't know, it's been an adventure. Tomorrow they're predicting severe weather, so we'll see how that turns out.
Yep, I sure hope they're wrong, but I did see that they're saying could be some severe weather. It is the season.
Yeah, it looks like the majority was on the southern end of the state, but we'll see what happens. Genesee County up here kind of, we've been calling the Genesee County hell. Just anytime there's anything, it usually just splits right around us. It'll go south of us and north of us. But that hardly ever hits us.
That is a good thing. Until it gets to summer and you're wanting rain and storms to keep the grass green and from burning.
Yeah, for the most part, I don't have to worry about that. When it's drought, the back of my yard is moisture should be, though. It's part swamp back there.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I don't have a big yard, but the yard I do have turns into a swamp. There was years and years and years ago, there was a creek that ran through my backyard, and there, that's for sure.
Yeah, not quite a creek, I guess. I don't know. There's a pretty low spot that feeds the neighbor's pond, but I've got definitely some corners of the yard are definitely low ground, and you get the dirt's below the water table, so just start getting standing water. So there's one part of the corner of the yard where just run the lawnmower over there. I get stuck every time if it's too wet. Gotta pretty much just skip that corner.
Hang tight, Lance. I'm ordering a coffee.
A little late for coffee. Anyway.
Just an afternoon pick-me-up. I don't do it often, but I enjoy it when I do it.
Yeah, if I do that, I'll usually grab a pop or something. I drink two cups in the morning, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm good for about 20-ounce Yeti in the morning, and then I don't like to, but I enjoy an afternoon coffee, so sometimes I'll stop and get one. I actually do it more often in the summer than any other time because, you know, there's just more going on in the summer. I usually stay up later in the summer and wears off easier, but we'll see. Maybe I'll pay for it tonight. Maybe I won't, but I'll enjoy it while I'm drinking it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I do with the 20-ounce Contigo, whatever they call it, I guess. I've definitely had that where you do the caffeine a little too late and just up all night.
Yep. Hey, I'm coming up to the window here. Give me a few minutes and I'll be back. KE8RUH. KE8RUH.
Connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH.
Still out waiting for the bus there?
Yeah, it's about a 30-minute drive to the bus. Usually get there anywhere from like 4:05 to 4:15, 4:20-ish.
Ah, I didn't realize it was a haul like that. I figured 5-10 minutes maybe.
No, there. I live about 30 minutes from where their mom is, so the bus is nice and convenient for them, but a 30-minute drive for me.
Well, inevitably, it's going to be convenient for somebody. Unfortunately, it's not you.
Yeah, the intent was to keep them at the same school, so they got an apartment right around the corner from where we used to live, so they still at the same school, and they're able to keep their same friends and whatnot, so they're with their mom most of the time anyway, so.
Well, that's good for them. I'm sure stability is a good thing, so, yeah.
Yeah, I just get them every Wednesday night and then every other weekend, so, but I get them for Easter this time, so I get them from this Friday until, like, the next Monday, have a nice big long time with him.
That's cool. You get all the spring break. You guys doing anything cool? Just around town finding stuff to do.
Yeah, I'd probably be doing stuff around town. Or, there's that slide park that opened up in Troy. That looked kind of cool. Or maybe not far from Frankenmuth, go to the water park. Or I don't know. We'll find some things to do, hopefully.
Yeah, I've seen that slide park. If you go, you'll have to let me know how it is. I'm sure my daughter would love that. And it looks very cool. It looks like, I don't know, I'd be interested to go in there and see it. But yeah, if you go, let me know, because that looks like it'd be fun.
Yeah, the only thing I'm afraid of is how busy it's going to be. Cause it's spring break, everybody's off with kids trying to find things to do. I don't know. The other thing I saw that looked cool is down in Detroit, there's a Museum of Illusions or something like that. It looked, I don't know, that looked kind of interesting. I don't know if that's like the, if you've been to St. Louis, the City Museum, that place is pretty cool, but I don't know if it's like that or what it is.
We went to that Museum of Illusions a couple weeks ago. It was a lot of fun. It's not long. If you're going at a normal pace, you can get through it in about an hour. If you're going fast, it's probably 45 minutes. But it was really cool. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend going to that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looked cool, and it looked like the kids would like that sort of thing, so we'll see. The only thing I hate is going down to Detroit and finding somewhere to park and all that.
Yep, that can be an issue. The other cool thing that's down there, if you haven't been, is the D&R Outdoor Adventure Center. I don't know how old your kids are, but, if they're 12, 13 and under, it's a pretty cool place. They just have all different stuff, outdoors type stuff that's indoors. But it shows like all different types of nature throughout Michigan, the different animals in Michigan. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, they're right in that age, 11 and 12. So, we'll have to see what we can come up with.
Like you said, you can never discount a water park at Frankenmuth. Those are fun, too. KE8RUH.
Yeah, I'd like to try the new one in Bavarian Inn. We've been to Splash Village a few times, but the Bavarian Inn, they just opened that one last year, so I looked at going over the summer. It was like $100 for half a day or something like that. Crazy. It's like, I don't know.
If you're talking $100 a person, that is wild. That's a lot of money. Too much money. More money than a water park is worth to me. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was per person or it would have been total or what it was, but I had a bit of sticker shock, and we went to, up here we got Crossroads Village. It's kind of like a poor man's Greenfield Village. We went on that, and that was kind of cool. They liked that, but we did that instead.
Yeah, I've been to Crossroads Village for the Halloween thing and Christmas, I think, over the years. I remember going when we were kids, and then I don't know, pre-COVID, we took my daughter to the Halloween thing up there, and that was a good time.
Yeah, you know, when we first moved up here, moved up here 2020, so I think, yeah, that Christmas we went and they did a drive-through thing at, for the Christmas lights because everything was closed for COVID. So and we did that, and then hadn't really been there since. And we actually went and went to all the different stuff. And, that was kind of cool. The only problem was it was about to storm, and they were about to close, so they were starting to close things up early and get things out of there. So. It was a bit of a problem there, but what we did see was pretty cool.
Yep, and then there's, if you got any nice days, and then there's always the Detroit Zoo. That's good for a few hours of walking through and looking at animals.
Yeah, I've been there in a few years. My cousin lives right over there too. she does a daycare, and they get season passes, so they would take the kids up there all the time.
Yeah, we used to get the annual pass, and when you live in the area, it makes a lot of sense because if you can get there often, you don't need to spend that much time there. So we used to go, and we'd go for an hour and a half and leave, and it was perfect. On the car right there, we'd have a conversation of picking, what do you want to see when we go? And everybody pick their thing. We'd make sure we see that stuff and get out of there. And then you're never buying lunch or any of that other crap. You're always, you go back home. It works out really good if you're in the area, of course.
And my cousin's in Berkeley, so we're practically walking distance. She would always get a season pass. I think that would let her bring all the kids in, so they would go for some of the days in the daycare. I know we had to go when the kids were younger and hadn't been there yet. We had to take them really early so that she wasn't the first one to take them to the zoo. You know, we got to experience it first. It's been quite a few years since I've been there.
Yeah, we don't get there as often as we used to, but, still good for once a year, if we can.
Yeah, this time of the year it's not crazy, hot either, so that might be the advantage of not sweating your butt off walking around.
KF8FGS.
Go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I hope everybody had a good day.
Yep. Glad to be ending it. Be home shortly here. Another one in the books, and that much closer to Friday.
Turn the radio on. Yeah, very good. Who we have out there? This is David. Who we have out there right now?
David, it's Anthony, KE8RUH, and Lance, A-B-8-Y or A-A-B-Y, I can't remember. I think that's Lance's call. Go ahead, Lance.
You're right the first time, A-E-D-Y. Knocking off the days, and they got a week of PTO after, so that'll be good, A-E-D-Y.
Yeah, I did pick up and get some coax for my base, so I did get started on getting that run through the house and what have you. So exciting times for summer.
Boy, you got all the projects going. I love it. It's always fun hearing new projects. I got some that I gotta get done, but nothing crucial. Everything's operable and ready to roll at home. So I haven't really taken much action. There's other things on my to-do list that I have to get done before I start doing radio projects.
index, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely. The radio is going to be a big one for me, at least to get the vertical for 2 meters. And then as far as antenna projects, I'm planning out for, an end-fed, a long-wire end-fed, and see what I can do with that. But before that, once I get this vertical, this 2 meters, tri-band vertical up, I'm going to, I got to get in a new well. So that's a project all by itself.
Did you pull the trigger on a HF rig, yet?
It seems like everybody I talk to, they're either like a Ford guy or a Chevy guy, And a lot of kids are promoting the A2. I got some family that are promoting the A2 991 and different things. But I figure the 7300 seems to do what I want. And I got my tri-band, the Anytone tri-band I'm going to use for the VHF, UHF base radio. So we'll see. I'll probably be pulling the trigger pretty quick. Thank you for asking. KF8FGS.
Yeah, I've been happy with my 7300. I was in the same boat. If I decided if I want to do the 7300 or the 991, I kind of decided that 7300 would be better to have the dedicated rig instead of the jack of all trades and master of none.
You know what the answer to that is?
You can get the 7300 and the 9700?
You are correct, sir. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you could dedicate
that's post retirement money.
I'll make do that if my numbers come in this week. Good afternoon. Yeah, that's what I got. I got a 7300, not the new one. And then I've got a 9700 that I got a fairly good deal on. It's still holding their value pretty good. I love that radio. And it's about as good a all-mode tri-bander as you can get your hands on. The only thing you don't have covered if you really want to get crazy with the all-mode stuff, you got to find, 220, and 7300 will handle 6, but you pretty much got everything you need covered, and 1296, so, but comes at a price. So, 991 is a pretty cool radio, chat in the box, but a lot of guys have trouble with those, a lot of guys don't, so you never know. Pass it over to Lance. And you can figure out where it goes from there.
Yeah, I've heard the 991. Some people just audio wasn't the best, and you gotta fiddle with those settings. And that they're great for when you go VHF, UHF, but you go into digital, they're not right. Not digital. You go into HF, it's not right. So yeah, it's kind of is what it is, but. Yeah, 9700 has been on the wish list for a long time, but the prices just keep going up on those, so they're up to like $2,000 at least now, so that's quite an investment for a radio that does what I can already pretty much already do. I go over to Dave.
Yeah, well, I talked to people that had I got to play with the 7300, and I got to look at the 91. I didn't get a chance to operate it, but I think the 91, it's a great radio, but if something takes a crap on it, and you got to send it in, you got nothing. My tri-band takes a crap, well, I still got HF, and if something happens to that, which heaven forbid,
I still got the driving. So, and it, I don't know. I like monitoring. Right now, I'm all about HTs. So I got you know, HT monitoring the you know, the 2 meter call. I got some friends that I've met in 2 meter call and other radios. And this one is kind of cool. This is a DM32, and it's dual listen. It'll monitor, you know, two frequencies, which is kind of cool. But yeah, we'll see. Get that. I told somebody, I don't know who I was talking to, about you know, planning out my HF antennas. So I'll go ahead and get the radio and maybe throw up, you know, a long wire and an unfed, just so I can listen while I'm still studying my general. I'm about halfway through the book, so, and got stuck a little bit on the electronics and the electrical formulas and stuff, you know, figuring how many nanofarads and this and that. So I think I'm going to skip that chapter and go on, and I'll come back to it. I think it's back to Anthony, I think.
Not hearing Anthony, I'll jump in. So, yeah, you gotta get them, you gotta keep them gigawatts down straight. What was it, is that what it was from Back to the Future? Was it gigawatts? What, how much was the flux capacitor in that thing? I can't remember. It was a movie I saw, I smiled, but I don't have committed to memory.
Yeah, I think Anthony was getting close to home, and I think he doubled when he got signed, but yeah, something like that, Sean. Yeah, that was my thought when I pulled the trigger on the 7300, was just rather have the dedicated radio than the jack of all trades. So definitely think I made the right choice with that. It's a very, very popular radio, and enough so that they've even invested some money and made it even better.
Well, when I was playing with it in the station, I liked the waterfall idea and the different things, and it seemed to tune up pretty well. It's got a lot of features, you know the so-called antenna tuner and a lot of things. And I did 11 meter sideband years ago, you know, quite a bit of that. And I enjoy the sideband, and the whole idea is to reach out. And with, I think that reader is 100 watts, if I'm not mistaken. HF, I guess you can go a long way in 100 watts, if I'm not mistaken. You know, back to you.
Well, this is Sean, W8FU. Anthony signed out. But I'm total agreement with Lance. 7300, you know, and if you can swing a 9700 at some point, you got the best of all worlds. You know, and I actually was thinking, Lance, you know, I got the 705 as well, which I adore that radio. Honestly, that might be the, if I got rid of everything, that might be the one radio I'd keep. Love that thing. The little Yaesu knockoff, but their entry into that space is looks pretty intriguing. I like the way it's got that integrated amp you can get with it. But I really like my 705 a lot. And with the way I do it is I run the thing. I have a PTRX board installed in my 7300. So I can drive an SDR, you know, and have it, you know, up on the big 32-inch screen with full, you know, frequency agility control and all that stuff of the rig from the computer. And and that PTRX board also, you know, peels off, antenna. So whatever antenna you're on with the radio, you can send to a secondary. So I send that to my 705, and then I got I forget the name of the switch. I got it from Larry, MIT. There's a company that sells these little banks of switches that you program, you know. And, I can't remember the name of it now, but I got one of those that wrote a little thingy so that you can, A equals B, A/B, you know, and stuff. So now that 705 acts as a
as a dual receipt. So I've got my my 7300, my 705 is my basically my got dual receive for less than I'd have to buy a rig with that capability and a little bit more functionality, because I can take the receiver out to the field, you know, and do that. So that was kind of cool. But that 7610 intrigues me as well. But and there may be one, you know, in my shack at some point, but I don't know when. But what does the new 7300 bring to the table that our old 7300s don't have? Anything earth-shattering?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, I don't remember all the features exactly. I know one of them was they have a monitor port on it, so you can, or HDMI out, so you can put it on a big screen. So that would be one thing I'd want, but other than that, I think they may have, you know, tweaked the filtering a little bit, made it a little bit slightly better performance, but not really super earth-shattering. I think the big thing would be to have the HDMI out, but not worth buying a whole new radio for it. Dave's the easy one.
Yeah, well, I just looked them up here on Amazon, and looks like it's basically the same with, I think a little, let me see what it's saying here. Direct sampling, well, that's normal. I'm going to look into it because, you know, it's only $50 more for the 7300-02 than it is for the 7300, and, you know, I don't have either right now. The extra $50, it might be worthwhile. GFHFGS. What do you say, Sean?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't even consider a regular 7300 for only $50 upcharge. You'll make that back on the back end. Our 7300s were holding solid at, you know, about $800, give or take. You know, a real good deal would be about $7. Nowadays, with that one out, you know, it's pushed it down a bit. Absolutely no brainer there. Now, what I'm a used gear guy, and what you can generally take advantage of in a situation like this is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that are just absolutely meticulous with their equipment. I'm not one of them, but you find a guy that wants to upgrade, you know, and get a real good deal on a 7300 that was, you know, meticulously maintained. You know, that's worth considering, because you might get something like that, you know, down around $700. I mean, that's a hell of a savings for catching a guy who's got a really clean, low mileage one that's just looking to upgrade. But I'll look at that too. I'll get inside. I got groceries here, some frozen, so I got to get inside. So I'll just do that, you know, comparison on the. I'll Google it, figure it out. But I got that PTRX board for mine, so I can do some stuff, you know, Lance. I can't mirror the display, but I can do a lot of other stuff. In fact, I run SDR software, and I don't even bother with the display on the radio. I just use that, and I can click on a signal and go right to it, and it'll control my radio and everything like that. And I prefer that SDR. I forget the name of the software. I prefer that to just mirroring the screen. You know, and then for things that I need, like menu and stuff like that, you know, I go to the screen, but so does everybody, because the extended one is not, you know, it's not really going to do that. All right, I got to get inside. Carry on. I'll pick it up if you guys are still gabbing about it in a bit. W8FU.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate that. W8FGS. Who's still here? Lance, you out there?
I just got the kids at home. C73 is EB.
Yeah, roger that. Thanks for the QSO. ABAY. KF8FGS. Finding good signal. We're clear. KF8FGS. We're monitoring.
WSDC 647, this is WRVC.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KBHGFF, how's it working over here out in the shack? Come on.
100%. Told you.
All right, roger that. All right, KDAPB, we're clear.
It's just the band, man. Nice and clear. Sounding good. KBHGFF.
You're telling me it's not the 800 feet of coax?
KBHGFF. KJO.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQN, KF8FQN, KJKJO.
Connected to CMN Network.
KC8KJO, KC8KJO, N8WRO. Nothing heard, N8WRO clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
So I'm happy.
Nothing more than getting something for what they thought was worthless for a good bill.
It was 209 to my door, and it works, from what I can tell, perfectly fine.
Yeah, I just got done at Wyatt. I dropped off my CB380, but the charger was like, and then he was doing his first attempt at soldering and melted the connector. So I'm going to drop off the Retevis charger to him tomorrow, and that will be charged up.
Oh, I remember learning to solder. I can't say that I loved it.
Yeah, he kind of soldered the wrong side and melted the connector. So I'm going to let him use the Retevis charger until he gets one ordered. He could download OpenGV77 on the Mac. So I had a spare Windows 7 machine that already has it on there. So he's just gonna upload the file, upload the radio, make his changes, and download it. He's already got all the different powers in it for MI5.
I have two new radios coming hopefully by this week, and then I'm gonna have to figure out how to program.
I'll give them something to learn how to do OpenGV77. Actually, it didn't open on the Mac. He couldn't download it on the Mac. So, he's got a Windows XP laptop, which OpenGV77 will not work on that. So, I give him my spare 7.
That was mighty nice of you. I think I might have an extra PC around here, too, if he needs one.
Yeah, said he's got an old wonky XP desktop. So, like here, I don't use it much as my program paper.
Go ahead, Wyatt.
Yeah, I made a contact with Tim, NAWRO on DMR, and was I interfering, you guys? I could have sure I heard that DMR package, like, on my radio every time I would tee up, so I kind of got off there fast, and was I interfering with anything on here?
Say that again, Wyatt. I got it, but I didn't get it. I apologize.
Yeah, so I was making a contact on DMR with Tim, NAWRO, and every time I would tee up on my DMR radio, I was hitting Burnside, I would hear my, those DMR packets on my Anytone when I'm connected to this repeater system. So I'm asking, was I interfering with this like repeater system, the KFBI?
Negative.
No, nope, you're just too close to the antenna.
Yeah, what he said.
Oh, okay, I was just wondering. Kind of scared this, but And also, how am I picking up Burnside from where I am with that HD?
Digital will carry a little bit more on it. I mean, I can hit Mount Clemens from Memphis, and you've been to my house, you know how far those are. And when I'm outside, I can hit the Mount Clemens DMR tower. So, kind of like the same thing. You know, digital goes a little bit further. Not too much further, but if you're hitting Burnside at 5 watts, that is good.
NAWRO.
Joe, go ahead, Sam, and then throw it over to Dakota and see if he's not busy playing with his new repeater and getting that all set up.
Copy that. Yeah, Wyatt, it does the same thing to me. I have to turn down the analog UHF whenever I transmit on DMR UHF because it just interferes. But you're not actually transmitting over the repeater, just rest assured. And Tom, on Wyatt's settings on the dashboard, 5-1 doesn't show up as the talk group. His a radio ID shows up as the talk group, but otherwise than that, his signal was good when it comes around to you. Go ahead, Dakota, NAWRO.
NAWRO from NADDF. I'm going to jump out here. I'm trying to figure out what size fans these are in this repeater case because I'm going to put some Noctuas on it because it's a little loud to be in my bedroom, so I'm going to clear out. I'll be back later, NADDF.
Have fun, Dakota. I'll talk to you later once you get all the modifications done. Go ahead, Wyatt. KKKJO.
Alright, yeah, I guess that's what he meant. Yeah, I was surprised. Again, I have zero clue about DMR. Like, I really, I'm more clueless about it than I was when I was first picked up an analog radio. So I definitely need to do a lot of research about this radio and DMR in general. But yeah, I was just wondering. My heart kind of dropped when I heard that noise.
What I can do for you, Wyatt, when I get a chance, I'll log into my OpenTD77, upload it from my 1701, which is the same program, and set your all your DMR IDs, you know, where it needs to be, and make any changes that need to be made for you. And then I'll save it as a file under your call sign, and I can email it to you if you want to email it. Send me your email either by text or by Discord, and then I can send it out to you. And that way then you can just grab it, download it onto the laptop there, and then plug it back into the radio. Try to get it done tonight.
WRO, getting a little crunchy there, Tom. I hope you're getting closer to the Richmond. Another option might be, since Wyatt's on Discord, you could do a DM on Discord. It should work, I think. Yeah, don't worry about that, Wyatt, that FM interference. It caught me the first time, too, because Sean's repeater here in Richmond is really close to my place, and I thought, oh, no, I wouldn't be able to use DMR. That was like, I don't know, 9 months ago or whatever. But no, it's fine. It just is a little disconcerting when the other radio is, you know, creating a whole bunch of noise. Let's see, back over to you, Wyatt. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of having to use my SDR, my transmit. Again, that's probably, front-end overload. I don't know if that happens in SDRs, but, well, that's reassuring to know. And I'm still shocked I can hit Burnside. Like, I'm still really surprised about that, with this.
Well, possibly Mr. Tom got a phone call. Not sure. Hope he's heading in the right direction. It's getting pretty late. Unless he's out doing something else. I wasn't keeping track of him today. But glad to be a contact for you there over on DMR, Wyatt. It's a good deal, really. And, yes, my HT here in Richmond, and I forget how many line-of-sight miles. That might be something you might want to do on Google Maps is just draw a line from your QTH to Burns, you know, approximate location, and just see how many line-of-sight miles it is. But my HT, both the Kinect systems and the DM32, can go from my driveway. Now, I have to be outdoors at least, but if I'm outdoors, it can reliably make a connection to the Mount Clemens DMR repeater. So let's give Tom one more shot, and then if not, you pick it up, Wyatt.
KCKJO, sorry, I was listening to Santana. But, yeah, I'm like 5 minutes out from my house. I was getting off on M19. Want to make sure I didn't hit any deer or any wildlife. So, go ahead, Wyatt. That's it. Have at it. If you break it, you break it. Ain't no big deal. But, yeah, just open it up, pull up your code plug there, and pick through it. If you got any questions, you got my cell phone, so don't hesitate to contact me.
Alright, I will do. I'll try to do a little bit of programming today and stuff, and after school tomorrow. I'm gonna hop out. I need to clean my chat. So, 7:30, you guys. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Tim, for being my first contact on DMR. I remember that too.
Oh, yeah, this is KFA, FQN, 7-3,
and clear for now.
Copy your last, Wyatt. You have a good one. NAWRO. Hey, Tom, when you get a minute, I don't know if you saw my Discord message, but Mike has some work for us to do tonight. So once you get home, if you want to give me a Hoyt phone call, maybe we can work that out. If you got time, I don't know if you got something to do, though. Have a good one, Wyatt. Back over to KCAKJO from NAWRO.
Yeah, once I make dinner and stuff like that, I'll check out Discord, Tim, and I'll give you a chirp up on the Hoyt. And Wyatt, have fun. Don't worry about anything. Like I said, I'll get you the charger and
been messing around with that and learned it all a little bit better. So, go do your chores, go take care of those animals, and I will talk at you soon. KZO 73 for now, and I'm out because I'm about ready to pull into the hangar.
73 Tom, NAWRO, I'm going to text you a photo of the last heard board so you can see what Wyatt's issue was there with the talk group. NAWRO clear. We'll talk later.
KJO.
NAWRO, NADHAT.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Doing fine, sir. Doing fine. I wonder if you might have a moment to help me check the DMR simplex.
Yeah, by all means, let's QSY over to, how about 441, 441.0s, and see if we can connect, and if not, we'll meet back here.
Okay, I appreciate it, sir. Give me a minute. It's the mobile rig, so I'm in the basement right now. I'm going to run out and hop in the truck, so give me 3-4 minutes, and I will shoot a shout-out on 441.
Yeah, copy your last, Joe. No rush at all. I'm just sitting here in the shack. So NAWRO clear here, or I'll have both on, actually. NAWRO clear.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it. NAHAP, I'll be clear for now.
NACDF. Is that the new one, Dakota? Yeah, just checking the audio levels.
Sounds good to me, but I got a lot going on here. I've got the Cisco blaring and the radio, but sounds good to me.
All right, cool. I have a lot of, noise on the receive on my end, so I'm going to pop it back open and make sure all the cables are tight.
More than you had with the other? Because they're literally identical, right?
Not noise as in, like, interference, but, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is yet. I got to figure it out. But, yeah, virtually identical. The power supply on the inside set up a little bit differently. The duplexers were the exact same model, except one was a B, one was an A. And from what I found reading, it doesn't matter. I think there's even a C. But the A and B are both for UHF, so... should be good. I think everything's working. They had a fan hardwired that was just always on. It sounded like a tornado. I pulled a fuse on that. I just ordered some new ones, so I think we're good here.
Man, I wished I had my own repeater.
Go away, you parasite. What's up, Jeffrey?
Actually, it just seems like it's on the Bofang, so I think we're good.
Man, I wish I had my own repeater.
Hey, we heard you the first time, man.
I'm just making sure.
You know, all you got to do is go lowball people on eBay.
Connected to CMN Network.
I'm not a baller.
Are you by chance a shot caller?
Sorry, I couldn't let that one go.
Hey, us lowly peasants out in the sticks didn't have any RF coverage, so what are you going to do?
just email that W8FU and just read him the riot act why he doesn't have a repeater there covering that area. Because you want to talk, and he's too cheap to put a repeater up there. That's what everybody else does.
I have it on pretty good authority. He has one near there, but he had these jokers doing the tower work for him. And they must have messed it up, because it ain't working right.
Well, he probably paid him cheap, and if I didn't know any better, I probably had him take a good antenna down and put a bad antenna up. So, yeah, what do you do? I mean, I'll fall back on that W8FU guy.
You know, Sean, the only thing that's missing on this whole setup, it didn't come with one volume knob.
Somebody stole one of your, stole your knob, Dakota?
Twisted it right off.
I hate it when that happens. All right. I can finally get back to you, and I'm going home. Give me the sticker.
NACDS.
W8FU. W8FU.
Yeah.
Got a minute?
Yeah, I could take a break from what I'm doing. Beating my head against the wall. Trying to get a note online. What's up?
Well, as you know, I'm a worker for the most part, and I hear you guys talking all the time about this Discord thing. So earlier today, I downloaded and created a Discord account and tried to search for K8FDI and your call sign and whatnot, and I could not find how to get into whatever you guys are on. So I can call you on the phone, or you can call me and walk me through it super quick, because I'm imagining it's something really easy. Am I correct?
I have not had good luck getting people that I don't know on here. I got to find, it's like I got to find you on Discord. Then I can invite you. Send server invite link to a friend. So I'm going to copy that. Okay, let me see if I can email you something that'll work.
Would it help if you knew my name on Discord?
Probably. I'm looking at the app here trying to see where I would enter that. Not sure. Friends, measures, a quest. Give me a minute.
No problem. Not a rush. It's just something I've been meaning to do, and I started putting those wheels in motion a bit ago. So I'll go back to watching TV for a little bit, and then I'll come back and I'll check my computer and see if you managed to send me something, or I'll log into Discord and see if something pops up there. W-Y-8-F.
Hold on, I found something. Give me your Discord username.
Okay, if I remember correctly, it's W-Y-8-F-RPAD. And while you're playing with that, let me go log into Discord.
Okay, it's a success. Your friend request was to... Okay, but there were no spaces. It didn't like spaces. Let's see if you got it.
I don't know anything at all about Discord.
Well, I mean, run the app and see if you have a friend request. Otherwise, I can have you do it for me, but
It couldn't find it with the spaces, so I took the spaces out, and it looks like it sent the request.
Okay, so, all right. I guess if I remember correctly, my username is without space, but my displayed name has a couple spaces. So maybe that's the difference. I'm on my desktop, no apps or anything. I've got the Discord open. Let me, since it keep me from running back and forth between this Kenwood 2000 and my desktop, let me get my HT real quick. Hold on. W8M.
All right. I'll be right up here.
How happy old man. Okay, I think I'm in a search window. Because I was searching. I have no idea how to get back to the homepage. Hold on a second.
Your audio is extremely low over the repeater. I can hear you pretty good over the hub, so it's working, but just in case anybody else is wondering. One thing you can do to for sure tell me what your username is if you got the program running, you can go down to the lower left corner and you'll see your username, and if you hover over it, your actual Discord name will pop up.
Yeah, which is exactly as you typed it.
Okay, well, it said that it sent the request, so you should have a friend request. Let's see here. Pending. Yep. I've got a pending to you. Oh, there we go.
Okay, so now what?
Well, now I will add you to the groups.
Okay, and then other stuff will be happening.
All right, I invite you to 2. And of course, the FBI group and then the Macomb Air PSC group. A lot of really good chatter goes on in there as well. You're in the county and may be of interest to you.
Okay, I just clicked on one of them. Okay, my HT battery died, and I'll be right back after my 10-100 WIW.
W8FU.
Okay, I've joined both, and I will end my annoyance with you for now. Thank you very much. WY8M.
Yeah, tool around, you'll notice it's divided into channels. They're topical. And, it's less serious and more tomfoolery over on the FBI one. It's more serious over on the ARPSC one, but we have fun over there, too. So, but, you know, that one has a mission. But all in all, they're both a lot of great information, a lot of different channels and things going on at any given time. You're just going to have to sift through it and try to get a feel for it.
Wills do. Thank you very much. 7-3, old man. 10-4, good buddy. WY8M.
Well, just a note, the welcome channel is where everybody comes into and people generally send stupid little gifts and things like that, you know, when somebody joins, but
other than that, nobody ever uses the welcome channels. You know, they're just, that's all they're for. It's just to announce somebody came in. And then, that's about the end of it.
KF ADYL. KE8RUH.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH, this is KF8FT1.
What's going on, Wyatt? This is Anthony. How you doing?
Good, Cujo Tom, he gave me a TYT DMR radio, and he let me borrow his computer and stuff. Oh, also, I got let me borrow or keep, I don't know, a Sean bobblehead.
That's pretty cool. I saw the picture of that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, now I'm going to take a little shot everywhere I go now. When I'm taking that trip to Utah and Las Vegas and stuff.
Yep, you got to get pictures everywhere you go with him. That's pretty funny. So you got a DMR radio now. You going to get into some DMR?
Yeah, I have no clue about DMR. I know what DMR is, but I have no clue about the basic and technical stuff with it. In fact, I can't even tell you what our color code is, so just get into it. I made my first contact with him, NAWRO, on the MI5, I think.
Cool, so Tom gave it to you programmed, huh? That's pretty nice of him.
Yeah, it was his old radio. Let me borrow his laptop and the programming cable so I can program all the stuff to know where everything is and stuff. So basically just programming the radio for me. But it's got all the repeaters and stuff in it for that. And it's got some GMRS rates, but obviously I can't know on that.
Very cool. Is that a mobile or a HT?
It's a HT. I did get Burnside from Emily City, though. I don't know about that. I don't know how, but yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, the DMR network that MI5 and the Central Michigan guys have put together is amazingly strong. The reach that has is very impressive.
Yeah, they definitely put in a lot of effort and stuff into that, and while it shows, it pays off.
Not me. Yeah, I'm able to use a HT basically all over town and between the Detroit repeater and the Mount Clemens DMR repeater. I have found very few spots that I am not able to have very impressive connection to it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad about that. Maybe I'll bring my mobile. If I get a battery or something, or get hooked up to the battery or of my car, or an external battery, maybe I can make some POTA contacts on UHF, VHF. I think, yeah, it's probably going to be really hard, but I'm up for the challenge when I'm traveling. Stuff.
Yeah, I think you do, if you spot yourself at a particular place using UHF, VHF simplex, and you're in a relatively urban area, I would imagine that you'll be able to get some contacts.
Yeah, I only need to get a mobile radio installed in one of my mom or dad's cars, or one of our cars, because, yeah, it'd be nice making contacts along the road. Gives you something to do other than look at your phone.
Yep, it definitely is entertaining. I usually, anytime I'm in the car alone, I'm usually trying to talk to people or whatever. Or if I'm in the car with my wife or daughter, I try to show them some attention. But, yeah, there's definitely opportunity along the way. I know I've made some interesting 2-meter calling frequency contacts on road trips, and that's always fun, trying to hang on to them as you keep getting further and further away from them.
Yeah, can you say again your last, please? Sorry, my phone was just way too loud. I'm on the East Coast Spectre Zoom room for the open mic tonight, and I'm so sorry. I turned it down, and that distracted me. So can you repeat your last for me, please?
Oh, that's no problem. I was just saying that I've made contacts when I was on the road on 2-meter calling frequency, and it's always interesting to try to figure out how far you are from the person that you're talking to and how long you can hang on to them until you get too far away from them.
Yeah, I can make contact with Phil. He's my first ever contact. Well, right now is my first contact and my only contact on National Calling Freak for Simplex. Yeah, it's pretty cool learning about how far away they are from you. It gives you some, like, kind of level of confidence and stuff that your radio can reach that far.
Absolutely, and at the beginning, when you're new, it definitely, you're always trying to understand that and figure that out. Hey, I am at my destination. I'm picking my daughter up from dance class, so I'm going to sign off here. I'll be clear on your final, and hopefully you enjoy that whatever net or whatever you're on your phone on Echolink. So I'll catch up with you soon. This is KE8RUH. I'll be clear on your final.
Roger. Well, 7-3-Z, I had a good time talking to you again. Nice hearing you on the air. We haven't talked in a while, but you have a good rest of your, what that would be, evening. 7-3. This is KF8FCWN, clear for now.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
CF8FQN.
KCMR and ADBF.
Connected to CMN Network.
NADFKTMR. KTMR, we clear. How's the sound coming back to you? Oh, I got you now. Audio's a little light on my end. W8FU, are you out here?
Actually, I'm in here, but virtually I'm out there.
Making sure I'm understanding this correctly, I'm not an idiot, but Phil said that he couldn't get in or hear me. I just switched the duplexer cables, and it's working now. Was that the problem? So I had the transmit radio, which was 442, plugged into... Wait. I did have it backwards. Son of a...
Working now?
Yeah, I have... The transmit radio was in high pass, which is... It's backwards. I keep forgetting that it's backwards for a repeater than it is for a radio.
You transmit low and receive high. You don't want to get your innies and your outies confused.
Anyhow, yep, it happens. But you're working now, so look at you go. You'll have your golden diddle sticks in no time.
Rookie mistake. Phil, how's the audio now? Do I need to turn it up? Or, well, Sean and I don't think Sean will be able to tell the difference, though, because it's coming in over the network.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear you. You're just a lot lighter than everyone else on here.
Please hold.
He's going to stick it in. He's going to stick his swizzle stick in, Sean.
All right, Phil, is this any better, or is this too hot?
I think it might be better. Go again real quick.
On that other unit, I did not have to mess with the audio in, so... I'm hoping it's better now. If I gotta go higher, let me know.
I think you gotta go higher for my ears. I got my volume like all the way up. I mean, I can hear you, but it's not real loud.
I'm wondering if I need to check the power out on the radio.
Yeah, I got my volume up all the way on this handheld, and I have to hold it almost to my ear to hear you.
What's the signal strength, though?
The signal, I'm showing a full signal on the HD.
All right, Dakota, you're probably okay in that regard. You're going to have to get the transmit audio level 3, I think it is, adjusted.
That is at $9.99.
Okay, riddle me this. Phil, is my audio... significantly louder than Dakota's?
Yes, significantly louder. Like I had to turn my volume down. I had it almost all the way up and I can barely hear Dakota. You're booming in.
Turn your RX boost back on and then your setting will be right.
All right, this is with RX boost on.
Hearing him better now, Phil?
Yeah, it's closer to what you sound like. It's still a little lighter, but not like it was before.
There you go, Dakota. Tweak it in and lock her down and collect your diddle sticks.
We'll be right back.
Now try running the try running the receive level way down. Now that you've turned the RX boost on, I don't know that that's what's going on. I think something else might be going on, but that was horrible.
Okay, RX is turned way down to 200 from 600.
All right, so set the RX via menu option 2. Use the VU meter. You don't want it to exceed 5. Try to get it bouncing, you know, around 3, you know, but on peaks. Don't have it go over 5. That's where that's supposed to be, and we'll make other adjustments for there. So go to menu setting 2. You'll have the graphical representation of a VU meter, and set that not to exceed 5. But you do want it bouncing up there, you know, hitting 3+.
Good day, gentlemen, all the way from the land down under. You got VK1JT, Victor Kilowatt 1, Juicy Tomato.
Christ.
All right, I'm going to drop, Sean. Yeah, this thing's clipping crazy. I'm going to drop and mess the audio with Phil, and then I'll reconnect up. Actually, I'm hanging out between 3 and 5 unless I get loud, so I'm going to make one more adjustment.
All right, yeah, go ahead, drop, and then get your receive level set with that position 2. Transmit, just a rough rule of thumb, 4 is... You could set that to 0. It doesn't matter. You're not using input B. Menu 3 is B. You turn your transmit test tones on, and you can keep incrementing that. And then, as a really really rough rule of thumb, when you increase it by 100 and you don't hear any change, then back it down to the previous number and lock her down. That's kind of a rough rule of thumb, but that gets you really in the ballpark. You'd be good to go.
All right, I appreciate the insight. Phil, if you got a minute, I'm going to disconnect from FBI and test with you for a hot sec to dial that in, and then we should be good.
Yep, I'm good. Whatever you need.
WNFU, off to the liquor cabinet.
NADBF, I'll be clear.
Yeah, VK1JT, you guys playing around with ASL node, are you?
Fred.
Yeah.
Are you by your bat phone? Is it convenient?
Just sitting here waiting for the wife. So yeah, go ahead. Or wait, call me myself. TX myself, because I'm out on the road.
Oh, I'll call your regular phone.
Yeah, it was like baffled. It clicked in my head. Oh, not downstairs. I'm out here. In the road. There he is.
Yeah, that's just not good, man. what changed, but it's doing what it did earlier when I told you to turn the level way down.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Phil, are you still out here?
This is KFA, EDQ, listening.
NADVF testing, 1, 2, 3.
Audio level is just about right.
NADVF testing, 1, 2, 3. Scout, good over here on W8RCY.
Hey, man. Can I get a radio check? Come on.
Come on, radio check. You're coming in crystal clear. KFA EDQ.
Yeah, I've been battling with this node all evening. I actually can hear, so you sound good coming this way, too. Okay, cool. Finally. Thanks, Fred.
Big boys.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WAVD.
You're connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.